about. You gotta put it in
perspective. My friends always said to me, your voice is like butter to our ears. Could you please find a way to get that audible chocolate on the airwaves? Well, here I am.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
So, Carrie, my hair person recognized you because she said you're on a show called Portlandia. Now, did you all meet because you were all in low-budget TV shows that I've never seen?
Corn and I met in college. That's when we started this band.
And so, was one of the original members Susan B. Anthony?
I think she was deceased by then.
And that is sad for all women, that she's no longer with us. But we carry her message. Be a girl, get dressed up, look pretty, you know? Guys are running this place, but we can do stuff too.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is a new low.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is the most depressing sex tape ever.
Roll another one.
That's not what you want.
Just like. This one seems to be about to quit.
Hurry up with my damn
perception. I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Do you smoke a lot of pot?
Roll another one.
And how often has been give the man some croissants, will ya?
I don't have another cent.
Why do you? This is exasperating.
But the bogart that joint.
Things are these days.
Just pass it around.
Nothing could be further from the truth.
But the bogart that joint, my friend.
I agree with my lover.
And now,
well, our next stop's the Nut Hut.
Our feature presentation.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Dude, you may finally achieve the altitude that you've been trying to get off this boat.
What?
Wait, what? I was thinking. I didn't say that.
What?
I was thinking I
just fell off his chair.
That was a moment with
Bean. Don't we have, like, thousand moments with it in the machine there.
Yeah, but you know what?
Why is that the only one that we play?
It's awesome. I was thinking about this yesterday. I think it stands out because of the short amount of time it got you to get through it. Like it's a 6-second statement. Most of the time we lose our track and we try to think of a word and we start mumbling and slowing down. You just plowed right through it.
Mm-hmm.
That was sweet.
He sold it, really.
He really sold it. Yes, it was a good delivery of a really bad sentence that normally you hear some type of, I don't know, fear or just uncertainty.
I should stop.
Creep in, right, but not Bean.
This is like falling off a stage without trying to grab the edge of it and stop yourself from falling.
That
it's
would
just
be stupid.
Being committed to the fall.
Right. That would be dumb. Morning,
so
everybody.
That's how it's going to be.
Brand new Kevin and Bean show is Friday the 13th.
I had a great story up and ready to go about a man who broke his penis having sex, but I think I'm going to save that because President Obama was on the Jimmy Kimmel show last night.
Yes, he was.
Anyone watch it?
I did.
I watched the tweet segment.
That was fun, right? Fun appearance?
Sure.
President's always good on those talk shows. And Jimmy, like me, is fascinated with life in the White House. Look. Screw politics. I want to know what you get to do as president, what you can and can't do as president in the White House. I'm always fascinated with that. You know, I think there's so many things that are taken away from you for security reasons, when you're the president, obviously you can't just – the president can't just go down to 7-Eleven and get a big gulp, you know what I mean, without it being a harangue that involves dozens of people. And I think he said on the show last night, for instance, that he can't use any of the modern smartphones because he's not allowed to use a phone that records, for instance. I mean, just little details like that about being the president.
Are we just going to assume that all presidents want to go to a 7-Eleven for a big gulp and they
can't? I just
can't?
Threw that out as an example all of right. the type of thing. Okay. Whatever it is. You know, go to McDonald's, go to a department store, whatever it is, it's difficult if you're the president. So Jimmy had a couple of questions for Mr. Obama last night that I thought would be worth visiting here.
Here at home, can you run down to the kitchen in your underpants in the middle of the night if you're hungry?
I mean, I could. I don't.
You don't. No. Is there someone in the kitchen at all times? Like, if you wanted a sandwich in the night, would you have to wake someone up?
I wouldn't wake somebody up to have a sandwich.
You're allowed to go in the refrigerator on your own?
I am. There's a refrigerator and there's silverware.
What was the last time you actually cooked?
Now, it's been a while since I had been.
But by the way, Kevin, you talk about what a great president you would be.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't you, of all people, be picking up the phone round the clock for peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and hot fudge sundaes? Like, whatever comes to your – imagine that. Yep. Imagine that perk of being the president. Whatever food comes to your mind any time of the day or night, you just pick up the phone and somebody makes it for you.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
I mean, you want pizza at 2 a.m.? Yep. You can have pizza at 2 a.m. You know, you want steak at midnight? You can have steak at midnight. It's pretty impressive.
I won't lie about that.
You ever drive?
I cannot drive. I mean, I'm I'm able to drive.
Is that because you don't have a birth certificate?
Yeah, exactly.
See, because he was born in Kenya.
In Kenya, we drive on the other side. Actually, the last time I drove, a former staffer came by, and he comes through the South Lawn, and he's got one of these new electric cars. At the time, they were new.
Yeah.
And he was very excited about it. I said, well, yeah, let's try it out. So I just grab his keys, and we just go out. It's parked right in front, and I start circling the South Lawn. And the Secret Service, no matter what you do, do not let him out. And they were pretty upset.
They call you renegade, right?
Is that there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're tooling around in an electric car, talking speeds of 30 miles an hour.
Yeah. I think we have 35.
Would you miss driving? I would miss driving like crazy. I would miss that.
I've never really stopped and thought about this, but I imagine I'd be fine not driving.
Don't you think you'd miss a lot of the trappings of normal life though?
Well, yeah,
if you were in that bubble.
Yeah, you'd miss the freedoms that you have. Sure.
Yeah.
Going down.
But you have
in your undies making a sandwich.
Yeah, I'm not going down.
I wondered where that sentence was going, Allie. You concerned me there for a moment.
I'm not going down in my underwear, by the way, just so you know.
When
I
really
get,
even
when
even
I get elected
you're at home,
president.
Though, it's your house.
Oh no, I'm going down balls free.
Oh, I see. No,
that's okay.
Because I want to force everybody to look away and just watch their faces, and that's my plan. I'm going to run for president.
Well, I think you should. I would vote for you.
Platform.
I'm on board with what you say, which is vote for comedy now.
Right. That's important. All right. Let's talk about this morning's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
What you are about to learn might save your life.
Probably not, however. We have Jimmy Pardo, comedian, in the studio.
Love him. He's my best friend in show business, you know.
Yeah.
Jimmy Pardo.
Which Bean has just made up a decision and then stated, and there's no actual best friend relationship going on.
He's the best friend I have in show business. I've told him that, and he's agreed.
Yeah, I know, but you don't text each other or email.
No, we have no relationship whatsoever
beyond his
infrequent guest appearances on the show, but I've just decided.
But it's special.
It's special.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. We also have Miles Teller on the program today. He, of
very
course, is in Whiplash, and he's Peter in Insurgent, which looks awesome. We have highlights of Strange Addiction, which is great. It's pretty good. Guy dates 90-year-old women.
Okay. Don't knock it till you've tried it, man.
Guy dates 90-year-old
they know
old women.
Yeah, they got skills, man.
Oh, yuck.
That's happening. We're going to talk to Miss Double December. Ashley on the phone talking about her Avon breast walk. I'm sorry.
Nope.
Let me just rephrase that. It's the Avon Walk to End Breast Cancer.
Yeah, just breasts aren't just out there pulling down the street.
It's not the Avon Breast Walk. And we also have the movie beat this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
If you want to hear our own beer mug go one-on-one with Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather, then stick around. That's coming up for you right off the top of the hour. First, though, wrap us here on a Friday morning with our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Mr. Garman?
Is he going to go one-on-one with him in the ring?
Unfortunately, no.
Oh, well, then I have no interest. I want any of those three guys talking. None of them. I just want them throwing fists. I want two of them throwing fists, one of them catching fists.
I like it. It's a good plan.
Any triskaidekaphobics here in the hizzy?
Word again?
Triskaidekaphobics.
What's that?
You have a fear of the number 13?
No.
It's Friday the 13th! Ah! I'm the only one screaming.
Well, that seems like a you thing.
I'm not afraid of the number 13.
It's an ugly number, Bean. I know you like your pretty numbers. It's not an attractive number.
Taylor Swift's favorite number, too. So let's remember that.
Sweet heaven.
Dear God.
Now, that's why she stole the Lucky 13 brand from that company that was called Lucky 13.
That's right, I remember. Yes.
Now I remember her thieving, whorish ways. The time she killed that dude and took his company.
I don't think she killed that dude. I think she was sued and lost, in fact.
I don't think that's been resolved, that suit, yet, but she will.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, this year has three Friday the 13th. A lot of people are freaking out.
Are people really freaking out, do you think?
There are people who genuinely, Kevin, have a fear of the number 13.
I mean, I've heard that all my life, but I can't imagine that it's...
It's no coincidence that many hotels don't have a 13th floor.
I always found that stupid, too.
Because people won't stay on it.
But those people aren't looking at it and going, you know what? 14's really 13.
No,
I need to.
No,
they don't think that
because it's not 13. It's 14. It's the 14th floor.
Okay.
It says it on the button in the elevator.
All right.
Get real, Kevin. Why do I have no power over here? What's going on with this over here? Anything?
Because we start from zero every day when we come in. That's why, Ralph.
Yeah, we haven't rebuilt the entire system yet.
Franklin Roosevelt, our president, scared to death of 13.
Really?
Yeah. Would never travel on a 13th day of any month and would never host 13 guests at a meal.
That is a surprise to me because obviously he was a very, very smart, educated man.
Very smart guy. But stupid when it came to 13.
Plus terrible at walking.
Did not like to run or walk.
He was horrible at that.
He was a lazy, lazy man. They would wheel him around. He insisted on being wheeled around everywhere he went.
Seriously, stand up when a lady walks in the room, Mr. President.
Lazy, triskaidekaphobic.
Couldn't walk.
All right, it's enough Friday the 13th talk.
Stand up.
Shia LaBeouf is in the news.
Guilty. Guilty.
He's not been charged with anything. Yeah. But the rumor has it he's engaged. To a woman.
Oh.
His girlfriend, Mia Goth, has been showing off a brand new diamond on that finger. And looks like they're getting very serious. Speaking of serious, I don't know if you've seen him recently, but Shia is rocking a dashing rat tail these days.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Bring it back, the rat tail.
A rat tail. I was worried about the man bun, and we're going straight to rat tail.
We don't need the rat tail back, do we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Kevin does, but no one else needs the rat tail back.
If it's braided with a bead at the end.
It is a fashion don't.
That's right.
Nice.
Terminex Pest Control has offered to donate $10,000 to the charity of his choice if he'll cut it off.
See, because they're exterminators!
That's clever. Ralph, it might have been before your time. I'm not sure. But Kevin sat behind Billy Ray Cyrus at the Grammys one year.
Yeah.
And did we talk about it beforehand, Kevin? Or was this a thought that you had as you were sitting there that you were thinking, oh, man, I'm so close. I could literally cut that stupid mullet off of him.
Yeah.
If I had the balls and a pair of scissors.
I wish there was a way to record my thought process.
That's a lot of ifs right there.
Because I didn't know who was going to sit behind. I'm like, oh, man, that would be so great. But then I'd get in a lot of trouble. But what kind of trouble? Is it a felony? Or is it just a misdemeanor? Like, what exactly?
Can you imagine being inside that head? The conversations that must go on.
You'd have plenty of room to stretch your legs if you were a thought.
But you did.
No pesky answers to deal with, so.
But you did nothing. You had all that conversation.
Well, I didn't have scissors.
I didn't have scissors.
Or balls. Well, I mean, I didn't know I was going to sit behind Billy Ray Cyrus. How do you
right.
know that?
But why is this a conversation? Why is this a conversation? But something that you couldn't do if you wanted to and never did, but thought about it. You know, you want to have conversations about things I thought about doing my whole life? How is this a story?
But I think what Kevin is saying, and I can put
it
back,
I once thought about doing something to a guy. Great. Excellent. I want the movie rights.
What he's saying, though, is he had no idea that he was going to be in that situation. And then once he got there, he's like, oh, man, I wish I could handle this differently. But he wasn't prepared for that.
Well, once you describe it like that, now it's fascinating, Bean.
In my defense, well Bean done. Brought the story up as well, not me. Now, that would have been assault, right? That's probably what he would have been charged with as assault if he had cut off Billy Ray Cyrus's mullet?
Yes, I believe that would be. Yeah.
That would have been probably worth it, Kevin, for the... Unless you would have gotten fired for committing a crime. Maybe K-Rock would have fired you for
Let's
that.
Let's talk so more about what could have happened had somebody done something that he didn't do.
How is this continuing?
Let's talk more about that. What if he had shot Billy Ray Cyrus in the head? Would that have been murder?
Well,
I don't think it would have been murder, Kevin. That would have been worth it, right? If he had shot Billy Ray Cyrus in the head and blew his brains out?
Nobody is suggesting that. We're just having fun. Well,
why are we suggesting it? It's all the same because it never happened.
Because he didn't think about that. Because that wasn't on the table. That wouldn't have been fun. Look, we're just trying to get enough altitude to get off the boat here, okay?
Man.
Come along with us.
This boat is sinking.
Enough from you, Allie.
Kathy Griffin has already quit the Fashion Police over there on E!
Did she ever start?
Did she do one?
She did. Yeah. She did 7 episodes.
Oh, she did? Oh, okay.
Yeah. And now she's out. I bet it's just a pain in the ass working with those people. You got the alien, right? The skinny alien. She's on that show. Juliana Rancid.
I don't ever watch that. I don't know.
Rancid? Is that her
Rancic.
Name?
Rancic. Yeah.
And
the lollipop.
And the purple-headed Osborne, that one, right?
Well, she quit.
She's
gone. Yeah.
Anyway, it's a big mess. I think Kathy Griffin said, you know what? I can go on tour and make a ton of money. Why
I can
do I have
other
to deal
things.
With these a-holes? So she's
and I'm
gone.
Also going to say, not that I ever watched it either, but I bet that it's, once Joan Rivers died, who cares about the Fashion Police?
Yeah.
She was the draw, right?
I guess. Although Melissa was on there too, wasn't she? I don't know. I've never seen one of them. But apparently...
she's talking more about stuff we don't know anything about.
E is saying they're considering Khloe Kardashian as a replacement.
Oh, good.
We need more Kardashians.
That's what we need.
On E.
That's good.
Speaking of replacements, we'll talk about replacements for The Daily Show when Jon Stewart leaves next year. But we can't do it now because we're out of time. I thought about once being the host of The Daily Show.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
Build on that.
Wouldn't that have been something if I was sitting behind a guy once saying, gee, I'd like to be the host of The Daily Show. I thought about that. I had a conversation
I stand by
with
that
myself
story,
about
by
it.
Way.
Do you really?
I do.
Listen to this back when you get a chance and then just look at your life.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. William H. Macy. Oh, God, I love him so much. He's just the best. He's 65 years old today. That's a good 65, by the way.
Yeah.
He's even Shameless. He looks like he's about 50. Dana Delaney is 59. Adam Clayton of U2 is 55 years old. Common celebrates his 43rd birthday. You're right?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's an audible moan.
I was thinking about something.
Cutting off Billy Ray Cyrus's mullet, were you?
Shut up, fool!
Thank you, Mr. T. Danny Masterson is 39 years old today. And actor Emile Hirsch celebrates his 30th birthday. I once sat behind Mr. T at an award ceremony. I wanted to shave his mohawk off. But I didn't because I didn't have any razor.
That's not a story.
Yes, it is. I thought about doing something.
Ridiculous.
It's fascinating because
that
I think about things.
That is not a story.
I'm Ralph Garman. I want
to
show
about
this
that.
I don't think we're going to make it to the end of today's show.
I don't either. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:23.
Miss Double December 2015 joins us next hour. She's got a lot of cool stuff going on. And our old friend Jimmy Pardo stops by. That's
I heard she's
up
going
first.
On a breast walk.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. Yeah,
I've heard. I want to go on the breast walk.
It seems
first,
weird.
Though, it is Friday morning. That means it's time for the Movie Beat Rebuff.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
What an interesting batch of films coming out this weekend. Here's what you can find in your Cineplexes and in your smaller independent films. A new horror movie called It Follows comes out today. This looks terrifying. Based on an urban legend. It's about a young girl who gets involved in a sexual confrontation from some
guy who's basically a seductive, charming stranger, and then he disappears because through the sex, he has passed on to her an unknown force that follows her everywhere. And the only way she can get rid of it is to have sex with someone else and pass it on to them. It follows.
It follows.
It follows you. It's herpes. Here's some clips from the trailer of It Follows.
Somebody gave it to me, and I passed it to you.
All you can do is pass it along to someone else.
I'm scared.
What exactly is supposed to be following you?
I don't know.
Mom?
No, it's me.
Everything's okay.
Ah!
This looks like one of those low-budget, no-stars movies that comes out of nowhere that just is great. That's what it looks like.
Yes. Bean, talking about a horror movie.
It follows. And that's not my genre, but I hear great things about this.
It follows, then it drips.
Oh.
Then it scans the doctor. Over. Then it takes penicillin. then it heals. Seymour! Seymour! Seymour.
Why are you saying that name?
Because Seymour is coming out this weekend. Seymour, an introduction. This is a documentary from actor, director, writer Ethan Hawke, where he is introducing you to Seymour Bernstein, who is a beloved pianist, was a legendary concert pianist, but quit early in his life.
He's a beloved pianist?
Pianist. Or pianist, if
very different.
If you're Kevin.
Yep. Probably. Clarified.
A teacher. True inspiration. This is the kind of movie Kevin would just hate. It's a real-life story about a guy who's an artist
and would love it.
Teaches people about life and things and shares. And it's a lot of talking, very little louds in this. There's piano music, classical piano music.
That's
God.
Probably not for me.
It's the anti-Kevin movie. But I think it looks fascinating. Here are some clips from the trailer of Seymour, an introduction.
My friend invited me over to dinner, and Seymour Bernstein was sitting next to me, and I immediately felt kind of safe around him. I decided to confide with him that I've been performing with a crippling stage fright. Sometimes I think that playing life more beautifully is what I'm after.
That's how life is. It has conflicts, pleasures, harmony, and dissonance. The same thing occurs in music.
Wow.
Come on, Kevin, go see it.
Come on, Kevin. Let's try an experiment. You go see this movie.
You are all going to die tonight.
A movie that obviously...
You're going to die from boredom.
You wouldn't go in a million years to
That's
see this film.
That's a terrible movie.
So it's not at all a terrible movie.
That is what not about opposite what I want. Weekend? What if it's opposite weekend? Can you go then?
What if you go and see
no!
this and maybe get a little changed and then you come back and tell us about it? How about that? Let's try an experiment.
I'm sort of making a pretty quick trip this weekend to Austin,
oh,
Texas.
Oh, that's right. You're going to Austin, Texas.
I don't see myself fitting in this movie.
That's the reason.
Maybe not this weekend.
That's the reason. Because usually I'm willing to stretch
right.
and explore.
Right.
No, you're all about self-exploration.
That's me.
Run All Night opens up this weekend everywhere. Liam Neeson, Ed Harris, Joel Kinnaman, and Vincent D'Onofrio star in this film. I fear we're reaching... the tipping point with Liam Neeson action films.
Yeah, I think we're at peak Liam at this point. I do.
I think we're at maximum density. I think it's starting to feel much like action stars before him, the Stallones and the Schwarzeneggers and those types, where now every movie is starting to feel a little bit like every other movie and we're kind of losing any sense of clarity or crispness about what makes these films different from each other.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, this isn't enough different from Taken that you just
no,
go,
it's,
okay.
No, it's his son's
it's his son, not
being
his daughter.
Chased by Ed okay. Harris, and he's protecting his son, and he'll do whatever it takes, and he's got a special set of skills, and I'm confused. Is he on a ship? Is he on a plane? Is it nonstop? Is it Taken? What is this movie?
I watched this 10 times in a row before I watched the last one.
I know. he plays a mobster who has to... kill his boss's son to protect his own son, and then his boss, Ed Harris, says, well, you think so? Nuh-uh, he says. And then he has to protect his son from the nuh-uh guy. Clear?
Sure.
Okay. Here is Liam Neeson asking Ed Harris, hey, don't kill my son.
Michael, he's a good kid. He's got a family. He don't deserve this.
I'm the only one ever cared about you. And all of that ended an hour ago when you killed my son.
I won't let you take him, Sean.
You got no choice. And when it's done, and it will be done, you and I are going to meet back here at this restaurant, at this same table that I used to share with my boy, and I'm going to look you in the eyes just like you're looking me in the eyes right now. And I'm going to see how empty they are without your son in the world.
How can he make him come back to that restaurant?
Well, he's going to send him an engraved invitation.
That's
just
real,
killed your son. Please come join us.
Real casual talk
it
about
is.
Killing each other's
Liam
kids.
Liam Neeson just lost his son, by the way, in that scene.
Yeah.
Like an hour ago. And you're going to come back here, and then we're going to order, I don't know, a light appetizer. Maybe a small, we'll share a Caesar. We'll get a large Caesar, we'll share it. It's more cost effective. Maybe some buffalo mozzarella with a little balsamic vinegar drizzled over it. And don't get the bread. It's a ripoff. Get the cheesy garlic bread if you're going to order anything here. Come on. Come on now. And then you know he's not going to kill his son, and you know Liam Neeson's going to stop him from killing his son.
Yeah, this one's preordained.
And then, lastly, Cinderella comes out this weekend. For all the girls who still believe in fairy tales, Kenneth Branagh is the director of this film. The lovely Lily James stars as the titular Cinderella.
The what?
The titular Cinderella.
Hmm.
The character the movie is titled after, Cinderella.
Titular.
See?
Okay.
The more you know. Cate Blanchett. Helena Bonham Carter as the fairy godmother. You know the story, Cinderella. She's abused by her stepmother and her stepsisters. And then she gets to go to the ball thanks to the help of her fairy godmother and meets Prince Charming. Disney is fascinating to me watching this business model. They have these classic animated stories of these fairy tales that they did for years, and they just built an empire on them. Now they're doing... And then they start doing musicals based on their animated films. Now they're doing live-action remakes of their animated films. I'm guessing soon we will see live-action musical remakes of these films, and then they will do animated versions of the remade musical live-action versions. Then on ice.
That's what I'm guessing
will be the sequence. Here is a scene where Cate Blanchett, who is the evil stepmother, along with her stepsisters, come up with a hideously cruel nickname for their stepdaughter/sister, Ella.
Ella, what's that on your face?
It's ash from the fireplace. You'll get cinders in our tea.
I've got a new name for her. Cinderwench.
I didn't bear to look so dirty. Oh, dirty Ella.
Cinderella.
Who's this for?
It's my place.
Oh, it seems too much to expect you to prepare breakfast, serve it, and still sit with us. Wouldn't you prefer to eat when all the work is done, Ella? Or should I say Cinderella?
Bitch!
Right?
She's a bitch!
She is a bitch.
She's evil, that stepmother. Oh.
Who knew?
She's so mean to Cinderella. Why don't... I hope she meets a nice fellow. While wearing glass slippers. That's going to be a smash hit, by the way. So my daughter's already got a gun to my head. We're going to see this. So. And Kevin's going to see, of course, Seymour in an introduction. He will tell us all about classical pianist Seymour Bernstein this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's movie beat.
1 week from today will be the close of business. If you want to apply to be the opening act for Kevin Amin's April Fool's since 2015, we are asking you to go to KROQ.com or KevinAmin.com and upload a couple of minutes of video of you being funny. And if you are voted on by the listeners as the funniest, then you get to open the show on April the 4th at the Shrine Auditorium. So you'll be the opening act for the show. Sounds like a good deal, I think. Go to KROQ.com for all the details.
Get a lot of people entering, too, which is fantastic.
Yeah. Very talented people in our audience.
What's your concern about Monday? What's the issue here? Because I feel like I have a good plan. It's a solid plan for the weekend.
All right. Here's the thing about Kev Dog, and that is...
That you're calling him Kev Dog.
That we're not calling him Kev Dog for some reason. And he hates it. Here's the thing about the monkey, is that Mondays are traditionally pretty rough for Kevin anyway, because Kevin is a guy who squeezes a lot of entertainment into every weekend. Kevin is the guy who'll come in on a Monday and he'll talk about 30 things that he did over the weekend. Places that he went, trips that he took, late night poker games, going to concerts, going to soccer, going to everything. And then they wheel him in here on Monday and he can barely focus because he's so tired from the weekend.
This is my rest time.
Right, I understand. You rest all week to gear up for the weekend.
Right.
So my concern about this particular weekend is you are basically taking a bullet trip to Austin, Texas, where South by Southwest is going on.
Correct.
And your plan is to leave today, stay up continuously, I'm guessing, all weekend long to eat all the barbecue, see all the bands, drink all the beer, and go to all the parties you can be, and probably come back on a red eye Sunday night. That's my fear, is it's Monday morning you're going to come in here and you're going to be a mess.
It's a late flight Sunday, if that's what you're saying.
Oh,
but it was really the only time that I could do it, so I was like, all right, let's do it.
All right. I don't know if this is going to convince you that it's a mistake, that you maybe have been overscheduled for this weekend. But I asked Dave if he could get us the Tube of History fired up for this morning. And I think we're going to set it ahead 3 days so that we can call you on Monday and talk to future Kevin and see how your weekend was.
I don't have any production here. Am I supposed to?
Should we have the Tube of History?
Sure.
Don't we have the Tube of History?
Don't have that. Nope.
Can we have some echo at least?
Yeah. Hold on. Hold, please.
We got to start coming to the meetings.
All right. Try it.
It's the Tube of History. All right. I think we've got you on the phone from Monday. Is this the Monday Kev Dog?
Oh, I'm so embarrassed by Friday's show still.
I wish there had
been some production value for that segment that I did on Friday.
I'm surprised you remember Friday after the weekend that you probably had.
That's why I had to drink so hard over the weekend, because I remember the Friday show. I was so embarrassed. It's even worse than usual. Worse than usual.
Worse than usual?
Yes.
Is that what you said?
Yes, worse than usual.
Okay. So, future Kevin, how was your...
Oh, so loud.
Sorry. How was your weekend? You left here right after the show on Friday to head to the airport. Tell us what happened after that.
I have to go to Autism, Texas for...
Austin, right?
I'm going for my friend. I'm going to interview Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Kimmel. I think part of the reason you went to Austin was to interview Jimmy Kimmel on stage,
that's
right?
That's what I said.
No.
So I go there, and first of all, Jimmy Carter is much younger than you think he'd be, because I thought he's stupid old president.
Okay, but that's not who you were interviewing. You were interviewing Jimmy Kimmel.
So Jiminy Cricket says to me, could you interview me for the talk about my career? And I was like, talk, let's shoot something, blow it up. So he wanted to talk, but I brought firecrackers on stage, and I blew up some table, fire happens.
And that's so terrible.
So, yes, that's what the police and firemen said. And so the theater is gone now.
Oh, no.
And the people in Autism, Texas are very upset with me.
Austin, right?
And so I said, well, let's go back have a drink. So I said, I buy a drink for everyone in Autism, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the Black Amex card. And then we have everyone get drunk. And so I say, let's go get the bats. Because they have bats in Autism, Texas.
Austin, bats, the famous bats that live under the bridge there, right?
Yes, you know about the bats?
Well, sure, yeah.
How did you know? I just found out when I was there.
Okay. So did you have a fun time watching the bats?
That's when Jimmy Carter said to me, let's go get bats. So we go, and I thought it would be funny to put M80 in bats.
Oh, no, Kevin.
And they don't like that when you blow up their bat house.
No.
So the bats bite me, and I get rabies. Now I have rabies, and I'm drunk with Jimmy Carter, and the police want me pay for the burnt down firehouse of theater.
Okay, so Friday, Kevin. Now that we've talked to Monday, Kevin, in the Tube of History, you still going?
I didn't know about the bats. I got to check that out.
And Jimmy Walker has a wooden hand, if I'm not mistaken.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:55.
We'll talk to our friend Ashley, Miss Double December 2015, coming up next. Jimmy Pardo next hour as well. Ralph is here now. Time for the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
You know, we were just talking about Ed Harris. He stars in that new film, Run for the Roses.
Run All Night.
The new Liam Neeson film. He is being honored today on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, this morning at 11:30 a.m. in front of the historic Egyptian theater, Ed will get his star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Well deserved.
Man, he's a great actor.
Great actor. One of our best. Right Stuff, The Abyss, Glengarry Glen Ross, Apollo 13, Pollock, some of my favorite films. And he's always good. You can always count on Ed Harris when he shows up in a movie. Regardless of whether the movie's great or not, he will always be outstanding. So he will be there with Marcia Gay Harden, who played his wife in Pollock, of course. Andy Garcia will also be speaking at the ceremony. I'm sure his wife will be there as well, Amy Madigan. Are they still together?
I don't know.
I think they are. Maybe she won't be there if they're not still together. But either way. If you're a fan of Ed Harris, go check him out at 11:30 a.m. in front of the Egyptian.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
That's right, Ed. Disney has announced, yes, Virginia, there will be a Frozen 2. What a shock! Because that first one was such a stiff, it made no money at all. Yeah, it's going to happen. Josh Gad was on hand when they made the announcement. Kristen Bell also shared the news on her Twitter feed, saying, no release date yet, fans, but don't let it go. Oh, no, you didn't, Kristen Bell.
Now, Ralph, as a father of a four-year-old girl, are you thrilled and excited and delighted for her that Frozen 2 is coming out? Or is this a punch to the gut knowing that you're going to have to watch this movie 200 times as well?
I actually really like that movie, so it is not... It's not bad news for me. I'm looking forward to the sequel, actually. I'm looking forward to seeing the short film, Frozen Fever, before Cinderella this weekend. They have a little short film, a mini Frozen sequel, that's going to be showing in front of Cinderella.
We're all looking forward to that.
Well, I know you are. I heard you did those bats. What do you care?
Yeah, Kevin's going to have a rough weekend, it sounds like.
Jon Stewart, even if... Now that Kevin has his knowledge, now he's pre-warned, I don't think he's going to change a thing, quite frankly.
There you go.
Jon Stewart is, of course, leaving The Daily Show later this year. So a new poll came out on the internets this week asking, who would you like to see replace Jon Stewart? Well, she did not make the cut. 5% said Chelsea Handler. Oh, kill me now.
Please.
Craig,
I don't think she's smart enough to do that show.
No. Craig Ferguson.
He's great. That's a great choice.
He got 7% of the vote, as did Brian Williams.
Come on.
Those are people who are making a joke about his credibility, I think, probably, right?
I don't know.
Is his career done, Bean?
If he's done at NBC, I think he'd probably be a good host of The Daily Show. He's a funny guy, and he's a newsman.
I just think, Kevin, I think their joke is, oh, he was already doing fake news on NBC. Let's have him do fake news on Comedy Central. I think people are trying to equate the two.
All right.
John Oliver. 8%. I don't think he'll go back.
No, he's on his own. His show is awesome on HBO.
Dennis Miller got 16% of the vote.
Oh, no.
Please no.
No way.
That seems a bad choice.
He's a bit of a right-wing reactionary these days. I think that'd be a whole different show with him as the host. But the number one vote-getter with 19% of the vote.
Dick Poop.
Dick Poop. That's right.
Didn't see that coming.
Tina Fey. Tina Fey got the...
Wow!
If she'd do it, everyone would love that, I think.
She would be awesome, but there's no way in the world she goes...
Yeah, she's a big movie star.
Big movie star and big producer, and she's creating and writing her own stuff. And it's a lot of work, that show. You got to show up every day. It's a nightly show, and you got to put in a ton of time. I don't see that happening.
May I make a suggestion? Somebody you didn't mention on the list who I think would be an outstanding host of The Daily Show?
You have a clip from their new single or whatever it is? Goat Horror?
Kevin...
Yeah, Kevin would be great.
I'm sorry, Kev Dog. I meant Kev Dog.
Kev Dog? Yeah, Kev Dog would be great. Can you imagine?
How dare you, Ralph?
I'm just saying.
Do it.
You know you
he
could,
may have
right?
built up enough momentum on that After Anarchy show.
That's true.
People may be demanding him back on their cable TV.
We could just nail his wrist to the desk there at Comedy Central and just let him go.
No need for nails. They're unmovable, apparently, in real life.
And congratulations. CBS has picked up yet another season of Two Broke Girls. Sweet. Oh, that show is... How is it renewed and how are people watching it? It's their fifth season, by the way.
Fifth.
First Baby Daddy, now this. By the way, folks at Baby Daddy, okay, you exist. We acknowledge your existence. Stop sending us stuff now. Thanks so much. Yeah, Two Broke Girls with Kat Denning and Beth Baer. Renewed for a fifth season. So congratulations to those guys. And while we're talking about shows, It's a phenomenon.
Phenomenon?
What's a phenomenon?
The ninth straight week of rising ratings for Empire. Wednesday's episode had more viewers than any episode previous for nine weeks in a row.
So tell me, like, how this story, is this based on real life?
For 9 weeks in a row, the ratings have been going up. 14.7 million total viewers on Wednesday night.
Even for regular hit shows, they most of the time don't continue to advance like this. This
no,
is crazy.
Usually the first couple episodes are large, and then it sort of levels off. It drops off and levels off, and it maintains a nice number for its duration. But every week, the show gets bigger.
I think I read the last time this happened was with, of all shows, The O.C., which I found fascinating.
Hmm. That was a phenomenon, too.
That was, and I loved
that
it.
That blew up. So, it's
Empire.
Been
a while. Wow.
Yeah.
Remember when Kevin was on The O.C.?
Nope.
You don't remember that?
Nope.
Kevin was on The O.C.
Nope.
Never mind. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays.
It's going well.
Never happened.
Today's celebrity birthdays. William H. Macy, 65 years old today. I love him.
He's awesome. In everything.
In everything. You ever see The Cooler, the movie The Cooler he made?
I did.
With,
sure.
Maria Bello?
It was a little slow.
Love that film. Oh, come on!
It was a little slow.
What's wrong with you?
He was good in it, but it was
slow. Oh, it's a great film.
Yeah, it was slow.
It wasn't slow.
Dragged a bit.
Did Fargo drag a bit?
No, Fargo was a 10.
Dana DeLady is 59 years old today. Adam Clayton's 55. Common's 43. Danny Masterson is 39 years old today. And actor Emile Hirsch celebrates his 30th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're not used to hearing this song in March. But it's beautiful.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December. She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
My nipples are so hard.
She's got big guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
Very excited to welcome back to the program our friend Ashley, Miss Double December 2015, who it's been way too long since we talked to. Hey, Ashley, how are you, sweetheart?
Good morning. I'm doing awesome. I miss you guys.
We miss you, too. You probably thought we forgot all about you and that whole Miss Double December thing was just a sham, right?
No, maybe a little. Maybe a little.
Just a bit. Well, the good news is, we're getting into that time of year where you start to do more stuff. So we'll see you at April Foolishness, right? You'll be coming out to that in April, I hope.
Yes, I'll be there. I may be a little swollen. We're doing a little bit of wisdom teeth stuff, so...
A little bit of wisdom teeth stuff. All right. All right. And then, of course, we got the weenie rose, so we'll definitely be catching up with you in person. But we got a couple of things going on with you that we wanted to catch up. First of all, everybody should immediately play the home game and go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com right now and check out the new photo shoot just posted with Miss Double December, Ashley. Now, you guys went where to do these photos, Ashley?
We went to the FMS building and did the photo shoot with FMS and the motorcycles and exhaust, and it was very exciting. It was crazy.
And this is in the Rancho Dominguez, and this is right up your alley, right? I mean, you love stuff like this. What kind of stuff did you get to do in the photo shoot?
I got to play with a grinder, which was exciting because you put any tools in my hand and I'm a happy girl. But I think the guys were a little nervous. But they probably were.
I think that's probably a safe bet. What's this thing that you're holding that has sparks flying out of it?
The welder?
Is that what it is? It's a welder? I don't know anything about stuff like this. I do know that it looked dangerous.
No.
Don't be ridiculous.
I wouldn't put anything dangerous in my hands.
By the way, there's also a video up there of, behind the scenes and stuff like that, because we like to cover things thoroughly.
Yeah.
How many different bikinis are you wearing in the photo shoot, Ashley?
I think we did four bikinis, maybe five. Lots of changing. Lots of fun.
Yeah. So one bikini comes off and then another one goes on for a little while?
Pretty much how it works, Bean.
Okay, just check it. All right, so you can see.
We should talk about the walk here a little bit, Bean.
I don't have time for the walk. Mm. I'm still on the bikinis.
Yeah.
So you go to krock.com or kevinbean.com. You can click on the gallery. You can see the photos. Excellent, excellent work, by the way. And thanks to the photographer Mike Prado from PradoPhoto.com, who did a great job with the pictures and the behind-the-scenes video, too. All right, new topic. Let's talk about what you're doing with Avon. You're going to be in Santa Barbara. It's not till September, but why are we on right now talking about the walk to end breast cancer, Ashley?
We are trying to raise money for the Avon 39 for September. Right now, we have an event coming up on Sunday at Sharky's in downtown Huntington Beach. That's going to be Sunday night. We're just trying to raise more money. We're up to $1,571.
Wow. Wow. That sounds like a lot.
Yeah. Very, very exciting. Our goal is $1,800. But,
maybe you should change your goal just a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm shooting for as much as we can get. So I hope we have a ton of people coming down. I'm going to be guest bartending. We'll be having a lot of fun, a lot of drinks. K-Rock State Team's going to come out. Should be a good time. I'm excited.
And this is Sharky's in Huntington Beach. That's this Sunday night. If people want to come out and hang out with you, hang out with the KROQ Street team, and also support the cause by donating some money for the breast cancer walk, right?
Correct.
Now, this is a two-day, 39-mile walk, right?
Yes.
It's not just a little leisurely stroll.
Oh, my God.
How do you prepare for that? 39 miles.
I have no idea. I'm doing some training, but I don't know. I'm just going to go for it.
Ashley's just going to look around for a motorcycle. That's too far to walk. She rides motorcycles. She's cool with that.
Now, Ashley, do you have a relationship with somebody that had breast cancer? How are you involved with this?
I do. One of my very good friends, I call her my SoCal mom. She is just getting over chemo and going through her radiation. And she's actually going to come out. We got her team started, too. And so hopefully we'll have her or her daughter walking with us. And it's crazy because 39 miles seems like a, really long walk. But what these women go through, it's nothing compared to that. And so for me, it's really exciting to be part of it and be able to support them and, just be there for her.
And if you want to register or donate, you can go to kevinandbean.com and you can find the link there and click on it and donate and support.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. The K-Rock Avon page is up on the website for all the information about the event in Santa Barbara or to make a donation. That's remarkable, though. Seriously, the fact that you're going to walk 39 miles for charity, Ashley, congratulations on that. I would not do it, but I'm happy that you are.
Well, I'm so happy to be part of it.
All right, Ashley, thank you.
Everything else been cool? You've been all right otherwise?
Oh, I've been awesome. Everything's going great.
You still making cakes? Making
cakes every day.
That's not code. She makes cakes.
Actually. She actually does make cakes, exactly. All right. Well, listen, have fun at Sharky's this Sunday night. Thank you so much for coming on. We'll look forward to seeing you in person at April Foolishness. And it's great to catch up with you, my dear.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Ashley. Stop complaining, dude. I'm just saying. Dear
dude,
God.
You tried to kill our guest. He just walked in the room. You attacked
shook his
him.
Hand. What happened? I don't know what's going happened? On. Just shook his hand.
Jimmy Pardo, what happened? You were there. You saw it with your own eyes.
I was witness to what went down. I came in. Dave walked me. Gave me the Dave Sanchez,
King of Mexico. Yeah,
I'm not 100% sure what his title is here, so I'm not going to I don't know.
None
intern?
Of us really
sound
know.
Like intern.
He's the producer. He's actually the producer.
He's
of the
producer
of your program.
What?
Yes. Of this one here.
That's right.
All right.
All right, so that's issue one.
So he's walking me through the lay of the land. There's a little different setup, I guess, since the last time I was here. And then so I was paying attention to him at the same time trying to shake Kevin's hand. But then Kevin came at me at an angle that in fairness, we had a chair between us.
Right. It was just I was reaching over the chair. That's all.
Yeah. So you're reaching over the chair to shake my hand. And both of us, for whatever reason, making no eye contact whatsoever, like Hollywood a-holes. Like, hey, brother, what's going on? Two jackasses. And instead of shaking hands, you kind of just punched my thumb. That's kind of what just happened. You kind of just attacked my thumb.
So I just felt like it was a sort of missed handshake. You know, you missed the first time, and you just readjust, and you shake hands.
But what happened?
He went down.
I crumpled to my knees.
He reacted as if he had been shot in the chest.
What just happened?
I'll tell you this. This thumb's having some trouble.
Anyway, I guess so.
This is...
is it a paper mache thumb?
Yeah, it's a paper mache thumb. By the way, isn't paper mache fun? What you do is you blow up a balloon, and then you put a bunch of newspaper and glue on it.
Right.
Then you pop the balloon, and then you have trash. Why was that interesting as children, paper mache? I get the key. I have a souvenir of a balloon. Put a gun in your mouth. So I hurt my thumb.
Right.
Dig this.
Okay.
And first of all, let's dig me saying
you
dig this.
You said dig this. All
let's
right.
Let's get past that.
That's point one.
Trying to take off a pair of sweatpants. My thumb got caught on them.
So that's an injured thumb in my defense.
I may need Tommy John on my thumb.
Okay.
And I know that's not the, that
doesn't
not
make sense even.
At all.
All right.
But ligament damage, I may have ligament
but you're,
damage.
You're going to be okay, though. This isn't going to end your lucrative podcast career.
It's going to hurt my Fonzie reenactments, yeah, right? That's probably going to come into play.
All three get most of your money.
It's like, you know, I go to Hollywood Boulevard in a beat-up leather jacket, miscolored because I couldn't buy a brown or a black, so I'm Fonzie, but like in a navy blue leather jacket out there. Just, hey! And the foreigners give me money in my fanny pack.
You're going to have to do it left-handed or none at all.
Right?
Sorry, man.
How aggressive are you at pulling on sweats?
I don't, you know,
good question.
They had a really tight band around the ankle.
Oh.
So for whatever
reason, it
got caught.
What's happening?
What do you mean?
Well, so far we've talked about you getting injured with sweatpants and a handshake.
Yeah.
You're not exactly out there lifting weights.
Let me remind you, I'm the only guest ever run to this show from my home.
That is correct. You did run from your home.
Shape.
Those are the old days.
Okay. Those are the old days. You guys remember back at 14 when I was in shape?
Hey, listen, let me take care of some business here. Our guest is Jimmy Pardo, the legendary comedian and podcaster and the closest friend I have in show business. Jimmy has the 500th episode of his Never Not Funny podcast coming up on Sunday, March the 22nd at UCB Franklin. That is sold out. But then you're doing one. Wait, what's happening here?
You can stream it online.
Oh, you can stream it online. Okay.
Yeah. At
but it's sold out, so people can't come to it, right?
Yeah, we're done. We got enough people in there.
All right, March 22nd, your 500th episode. Jimmy, a lot of people don't realize this, was one of the first podcasters, correct, Jim?
I would say so. I people tell me that. I know that one was
more
happening.
Than 9 years you've been doing this nonsense.
It'll be March. Yeah, God blessed it. Yeah. Yeah, March of...
Just go with yes from now on.
Yeah, I was the first.
2000.
Say it. Own it.
You know,
own it.
The one... Whenever I own it, somebody comes out of the woodwork and goes, you know, you really weren't the first, right? And like, oh, yes, I know that, but...
That's when you go, I was just kidding. What's wrong with you?
Well, people don't
take
understand
a
humor.
No.
They don't get you. Come on.
But you were the first kind of famous one who developed who got to critical mass, I think.
I think so. I was the first person, other than Ricky Gervais, where I wasn't a household name, and I wasn't like Corolla coming in with a built-in audience or
right.
Ralph coming in with a built-in audience. I was a guy that, you know, started at my dining room table and, built it up from
500th.
Yeah, 500.
That's hard to
imagine.
Pretty
impressive. Bought me a house. This stupid podcast. It's great. It's I didn't mean that to be bragging. I meant like it's like that.
No,
it worked out. I didn't.
And by the way, Jimmy also has lots of other jobs. He works on the Conan show. Obviously, he's a very popular stand up comedian. He's got a lot going on. Speaking of the podcast,
yes, sir.
I'm a long time listener of the show. I enjoy it very much. And you said something recently that you just kind of skimmed over on the podcast.
Okay.
I came in the next day and said to the guys, "We got to talk to Pardo about this the next time he's on because this." Really, really surprised me.
Okay.
You were talking about when you take an Uber.
Yes.
That you feel like you should sit in the front seat. You feel like an a-hole if you sit in the back seat because you're not in a cab, you're in somebody's car. And that was fascinating to me that that's how you view Uber.
Listen.
So it's more of like a friend, like you would be an a-hole if you were their friend? For sitting in the back?
Yeah. Make no mistake. I want to sit in the back.
Okay, all right.
I want to sit in the back.
You just don't want to feel badly about
it. I don't want to feel bad about it. Okay. So I always kind of give them the option. Hey, I always been like I've never been in a car before. So what do we do here, guys? Am I in the front or the back? And the guy always goes, oh, yeah, anywhere you want. The front's cool. Then I'm like, oh, he said front. So then I have to sit in the front. But I would really want him to go, no, dude, get in the back. And I don't know
but
why
Kevin,
it's a surfer.
Kevin, let me ask you and let me ask Allie this. If you took a million Ubers, would it ever even occur to you to sit in the front seat?
No,
I feel like that would be like I would be out of place a little bit.
Like you would be violating their personal space.
You're infringing on them.
Really?
At that point.
I just feel like, it's like that's where I'm supposed to sit.
So it turns out I'm the jackass.
I don't know what
I'm sitting in the front the whole time. The guy's seething in his head. Go, why did he sit in the front? Why did he take that option? Get in the back, jerk. It's next to light. Let's do a fire drill. I don't know. Can you say, can you use the Chinese fire drill? Can you say that in this day?
I don't know that that's been a thing for a while, but I like it. I like the reference.
No, but I think what Jimmy's saying is in our politically sensitive correctness and sensitive.
sensitive times, is it somehow disparaging to Chinese people if we call it a Chinese fire drill? I wonder.
Is it? I wonder if it is. I mean, I never understood why it was considered Asian in nature to begin with.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
I don't either. All right. Let's move on like that didn't happen.
I'd rather not do that. I'd rather dwell on this and get hate mail. That seems to make more sense.
Jim, are you doing anything special for the 500th episode in terms of you got the guests you've always wanted or anything like that?
No, not really. You know, that's a great question. I wanted to treat it just like a regular show, except doing it live.
But you should make it better, though.
Well, that hurtful. That's that, wow. That hurtful. I don't know why that has disappeared. I was talking to some people and we thought it was just better to make the show more about focus on us as opposed to, you know, we did a show with John Hamm in San Francisco once where, you know, we sold out, you know, 500 seats and I don't know, 200 were there to see us and 300 were there to wait, you know, we were waiting for John Hamm to show up. So it was kind of, you know, it was more about John Hamm than us, which
right.
is great, fine. You know, we sold tickets and people got to know about our show. But this was, we're in a small venue. Let's make it about us.
Fantastic.
Anybody right. happy it with is, that answer?
Well, you're not making it better, so. According to Bean.
It makes a lot of sense, though.
Yeah.
It is sold out at UCB Franklin coming up on Sunday, March 22nd, but you can stream it at nevernotfunny.com. Our guest is Jimmy Pardo. More with him in a moment right after this if he doesn't get hurt on K-Rock. Our friend Jimmy Pardo in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show from the Never Not Funny podcast, celebrating its 500th episode coming up here very soon. Hey, Jimmy, you were very sick last weekend. You survived. Did you bring in your Ebola AIDS this morning as well?
My bowl of what?
Your Ebola AIDS Ebola. Or whatever it is you had. It sounded like you were pretty sick.
I was not. You know what's weird? It lasted literally.
Did you think he said a bowl of AIDS?
Didn't you?
My bowl of what?
I thought he said, did you bring in a bowl of AIDS? And I was like, yeah, I did. Again, I thought Chinese fire drill might be a risky.
Yeah.
Why can't I say it? I so don't want to say it. My mouth won't say it. So I left the bowl of AIDS at home.
Okay.
So you're okay. You're healthy today is what I'm asking.
I am. But what did you say? Ebola.
He said Ebola.
And Ebola then, AIDS, right. I just It was just a combination of all the bad things you could have brought in here today.
Ebola and AIDS, the combo.
Yes,
and
exactly,
I'm suggesting you put the AIDS in a bowl.
Right.
Where
right.
it's obvious, dumb, you'd put it in Tupperware.
That's stupid, right.
Okay. Everybody does that,
right?
Exactly.
That way you can reseal it.
So right. You're fine.
I'm doing okay.
You did a gig over
seems
the
like
weekend.
More there. Although this seemed to beat me up. This questioning isn't helping.
You did get a gig over the weekend up in Santa Barbara.
I was up in beautiful Santa Barbara to college.
Right.
That's right.
Now, are you getting to the point now where you don't know how to perform for 18-year-olds, Jimmy?
You know what's interesting is I guess I was great. I found out that nobody was over the age of 20, maybe 40 minutes into the hour. And had I known it 1 minute into the hour, I think it would have messed with my head. But I just kind of did the show. I remember I kept on saying, folks. Hey, come on, folks. And then at one point I made fun of myself. I go, folks. I go, seriously, anybody here over 20? I go, raise your hand if you're over 20. Nobody raised
your
hand.
You're expecting a couple.
Maybe one or two. But it was you know, I do so much improv-ing and so much crowd work that it doesn't really matter. If they're there for comedy, they'll have fun.
Right.
But if
the
I had
Reagan
to do an
jokes
act,
weren't going over big, though.
Oh, the Reagan,
that was what...
my Jimmy Pankow from Chicago jokes were getting nothing. And those always get upwards of 2 out of a scale of 1 to 10. I made a reference, and so I said, you know, ask your grandparents, you know, that sort of joke. Because they
check with them when you go home.
Yeah, Google that. When you Google that, you're going to enjoy the Jim Croce reference. And it was one of those things where the Jim Croce joke is coming out of my face going, nobody knows that song. Nobody knows, you know, Rapid Roy the Stock Car Boy.
The reason I bring it up, Jimmy, is because you are only 41 years old.
Thank right? you.
But,
yes.
But in my mind, you seem like a much older man.
Oh, what? First of all, that's hurtful. Second of
you
all.
Know what
is that a compliment?
What do I see? Closer to 48, 49 to you?
Kevin, you make fun of me sometimes for seeming like a super old guy. Like
well,
the guy who's
the way you act,
sitting
the way
at the Denny's
drive,
reading the newspaper
yeah,
at the counter, you
the
know what I mean?
The things you say, the phrases you use, it's all
and
like from
I
the
feel
1920s.
Like Jimmy is like that, too. I feel like Jimmy is actually like an 80-year-old in a young man's body
I don't
sometimes.
Disagree with that. I think that I'm born in the wrong – I should have been around in the 60s and 70s.
I just demolished him with a handshake.
I was
going
to say, happened. The frail thumb is not helping
it was,
right now.
You know, I met Frankie yeah. Valli not that long ago. And when I met Frankie, his hand was like tissue paper.
Is that
it was
right?
Like, I met it. I shook his tiny little Italian hand.
Right.
And he was like – but he, can I say – I bring up Italian. I'm Italian, but he is like that old little kind of Italian gentleman that you would see. Selling fish, and he I touched his hand and I thought his skin would stay in my hand when he pulled away. So I feel like I'm getting closer to being Frankie Valli.
All right,
I love the Frankie Valli reference.
You're welcome.
How did you happen to meet Frankie Valli, Jimmy?
He was my buddy collects autographs, and so we went to see Frankie Valli in concert down. I want to say in the OC, and we waited around afterwards to at the stage door to so my buddy can get his autograph. My buddy Pat Francis, very funny guy, has a podcast called Rock Solid.
All right, but let me ask you a question. People who wait and wait and wait for autographs,
yeah,
that's sort of his thing.
Yeah,
why do you hang with him? At that point, don't you go, hey, you know what? This is going to be an hour?
Yeah, well, it depends on the artist.
I'm going to walk home.
Frankie, I get a charge out of watching him get them and the excitement, and then if it's somebody like Frankie Valli, I'll participate as well and get something signed. I waited with him for The Who for 2 hours, and guess what dummy didn't get something signed? This guy.
That would be you.
That'd be me. I'd point at myself with my thumbs in horrible pain. So I get a charge out of it. Plus, you know, in this day and age, you don't spend a lot of time with your friends, so you can't really talk during the concert. And so
you do it while you're waiting for Frankie Valli.
Yeah, we spend those 2 hours just hanging loose. And then
it's interesting to think of a celebrity getting another celebrity's autograph, because in my mind, you people are over there, and you don't care about stuff that the common people care about.
Again, I do it with my friends.
Even by you people.
And first of all, a celebrity. You know, thank you.
Jimmy's. Clearly, you know that you're a celebrity.
You know, I'll say this once again at the corner. I brought this up the last time I was here. Over by the Amoeba, there's some weird little dome where I'm the most famous person in the world, that people recognize me. Even yesterday, I was walking to Amoeba from my car, and a guy on a bike goes, "Jimmy Pardo, you got it, brother." And it was like, but it was like the second I was out of my car, even like it was like a running joke. Like, well, he's in the area. We got to let him know he's here.
It's only that spot,
though. It's only that corner.
Nowhere else.
That's why nowhere else the world cares at all.
That's weird. I have heard.
I'd move there.
No, that's not a bad idea.
That autographs are not even a thing anymore for young people. Like if you're in One Direction or you're Taylor Swift or you're, you know, Selena Gomez or somebody, nobody ever asks for your autograph. The selfie
is the new currency with
celebrities now. Now, have you encountered that? Do you run into that a lot when you're at Amoeba that people want to take a photo with you?
Not at Amoeba, but you know what? Go back to that Santa Barbara gig. All the kids, that's what they wanted. They all wanted selfies with me.
Yeah. Well, they can't read cursive.
Well, that's right. There you go.
Yeah.
I have to start printing my name.
Exactly.
That's what I'll do for the children.
What's the most valuable autograph or selfie, Jimmy, that you have, that you're the proudest of, the person you were most excited to meet?
Boy, that's very exciting. Well, you know, oh, God, I'm going to really sound 80. I just met Patti LuPone, and that was very exciting to me.
Great reference for our audience.
Yeah, she starred as Evita on Broadway back in 1979.
Corky's mom on Life Goes On.
Yeah, how about that?
Okay.
Okay. I knew Kevin would
well
know that.
Well done, Allie.
Mrs. Thatcher on Life Goes On.
All right.
Sweeney Todd. Anything goes.
So you met Patti LuPone.
I met her. You know, again, and you always mock me. When I met Peter Cetera, that was a grip. Steve Perry, that was probably the one.
I love Chicago.
Yeah.
I love Peter
Cetera. Was the one that where, you know, I got, you know, a little butterfly in the tummy. But
yeah, he's your man.
Most valuable? I don't know the answer to that.
But most valuable to you.
Yeah, that's all.
Probably one of those. Probably Steve Perry or Peter Cetera.
And Steve Perry, he's a singer. Journey, he has been essentially a recluse for the last 25 years, right?
He has, but, you know, he'll pop up from time to time. And when he does, he just performed with Eels last year. He showed up.
How about that?
As a surprise guest. And I saw him at the Orpheum. I got heads up that he was going to be there. And so I'm not even familiar with Eels. So I went and caught the last 10 minutes of Eels, and then the encore, and then here comes Steve Perry, and then here come the Waterworks. Who starts crying? I do. Yes, I'm the guy that started crying at the concert.
Because you were so happy that you were able to see Steve Perry sing live.
To sing once again. I saw him back in 95 when he did his solo tour, and then I kind of felt like it was one of these days. Oh, no, here's the one. I saw Cat Stevens last year, and then that was I've never cried that much in my entire life. I hope I cry that much when my family dies. I mean, that's how much I cried at the Cat Stevens show.
Why did you cry over Cat Stevens?
Because he was there.
Because he was there, and I thought, wait, that's hurtful.
Right.
The way you spun that and that I thought it was a positive thing made me look the fool. First of all, it made me say the word hurtful for the 17th time, and I'm upset with that.
Although we were talking about Cat Stevens before, so what are we going to do?
Cat Stevens is, first of all, legend.
It's okay. We could go back and air this in 1975.
I
love it.
He has toured in this country in 30 years. 28 years he has not toured in this country, and I thought I would never see him. So I'm ignoring your your snarky remarks. Okay, I'm sorry, it's not Depeche Mode.
The album to name, he was supporting.
To name one of the most popular bands of 2015, right?
Shut up. Shut up. I couldn't think of anybody.
That's as current as you went.
I went to a
Depeche
panic.
Mode is as current as you could
when
be.
When I lived here in the mid-80s, I lived here in the 80s, and the K-Rock, all you play was Depeche
right,
Mode.
That was the 80s,
and
though.
Dramarama. That was it. So those are
but
my
I'm
two
saying,
go-tos.
In your mind, you went, say something current, and all that
I was Depeche
there
Mode.
Was Depeche Mode.
Sure. Sure, I could have said of Imagine Dragons.
I
could have said of Imagine Dragons. You didn't even play that? That's not even...
No, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's the
thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well done.
I know what the kids are listening to. The college gig.
Mr. Pardo has to go because he's in a very tight schedule. He needs to be out the door in 48 seconds
oh,
from
here
right
we go.
Now. What else you want the kids to know about Never Not Funny before we say goodbye, Mr. Pardo?
It's great. Listen, fun show. Listen Sunday. It streams live, but then always go to nevernotfunny.com. That's where the show is. And, of course, I'm on Twitter at Jimmy Pardo, where I post mostly things about my life.
You're the best, man. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
Sorry to injure you.
Yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51.
Finally, Friday morning. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Boy, Uncle Joe Benson's so jealous of the conversation you guys were having a few minutes ago.
That was hellish. Yeah. That was hellish.
He really wanted to be a part of it.
He hit all of them.
Trying to tell anecdotes. He sure did.
That was
Chicago. We had Journey. We had Cat Stevens.
It was really.
Frankie Valli.
Quite the adventure.
I felt like I was going to faint.
I told you, Jimmy is a young man who seems like he's about 80.
Yeah, and that's Bean saying that.
Yeah.
If he's 80,
I don't mind it.
You're
110. Yeah. He's my people.
He is your people.
Just before I left, Bean said, one of these days I'm going to get up the energy to text you back. Those words were said.
Well, you know, Bean's got...
takes a lot of energy for that texting.
He's got the low blood pressure and the fainting, you know.
That's right.
Bean, get up. Get up, Bean.
I'm okay.
Glad he's going on vacation next week. Probably work out all these issues there in Mississippi, home of excellent health care.
Poorest state in the union.
Well, that's where you want to go for a vacation. That's where you really get most of your vacation dollars, the poorest state in the union.
It's the poorest state in the union. It also has the fattest people in the union. So it's going to be great.
Bean tweeted out. We didn't have a chance to get to all of Bean's tweets last week.
We have enough to do a whole nother break, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Okay. Easily. That there's a Philadelphia, Mississippi, and there's a, what other cities in Mississippi you say, Bean, that have more famous counterparts?
There's a Madison, there's a Houston. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of cities that have the same names as cities in other states.
He said, I'm sure you're going to send out some confusing postcards.
Wow. Come on.
Well, now that you've said that,
you
might not get a postcard from Philadelphia, Mississippi next week, bro.
Ralph will be heartbroken.
Don't say it ain't so. All right, let me give you something for if you're still there. If you're still listening, I'd like to reward you because that was truly challenging radio.
Yes,
God,
it was.
God bless you. How about the PallyFest 2015?
Yeah!
Pally Center for Media always does an amazing job of their tribute to TV shows past and present during the PallyFest. Great lineup this year. Some great shows have been honored, including Teen Wolf and Scandal, and Girls and Homeland, Arrow and the Flash, Modern Family, American Horror Story. How about Jane the Virgin? Jane the Virgin, a huge hit. Of course, the star recently won a Golden Globe for her work as Jane. If you'd like to go and spend the evening with the cast and creative team behind Jane the Virgin on the CW, why don't you give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 15. At that number, we'll get a pair of tickets to spend the evening with the cast and creative team behind Jane the Virgin.
I'm a virgin with white guys.
Sure. Probably all guys. That Jane. Speaking of television, Amber Valletta's coming to television, which is good news. She will be joining an ABC drama pilot called Boom.
It's called Boom?
Boom, starring Don Johnson. Boom. Show's about a...
The name of the show is Boom?
An oil tycoon who discovers a huge oil deposit in North Dakota, which in turn triggers an economic...
Boom.
Boom!
By the way, that's...
You've seen with us so far?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about the show. I haven't heard about it before, but I do read the news, and North Dakota is undergoing unbelievable changes as a result of the oil that's been found there.
That's
I mean, new cities are springing
on.
Up out of nowhere.
They said it's, nothing has been seen like this... since 1849,
Which, Kevin, of course, you know that significant date.
Sure, that's when the last time this happened was.
But the 49ers, 1849.
Kevin, you know this one.
Come on.
This show is just killing my soul.
That was the California gold rush.
This show is killing my soul.
When gold was discovered in California.
I need to be away from you people.
The gold rush created an economic boom. Cities were springing up everywhere. People were rushing to California to get in on this gold boom. And they said, what's happening now in North Dakota hasn't been seen since that time.
They can't build houses fast enough for people to live in. People are just practically sleeping on the streets because there's so many of them now trying
to
work.
Tell us more.
So no place to live. I mean, it's crazy.
So this drama will be about this phenomenon, which is very real and happening right in front of us. Not in front of you, Kevin, but in front of the rest of us. And so we will explore the dramatic possibilities of such a story.
I might leave right now.
So Don Johnson will play an oil baron, and Amber Valletta will play his much younger, hotter wife.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
That's right. That's right, Kevin, you don't. Now we know what the plans are for Star Wars. Star Wars Episode 8, which will be directed by Ryan Johnson, who gave us,
now,
of course...
Now, 7 is the one that's coming out this Christmas,
that's
right?
J.J. Abrams' film, right?
Okay.
8... which is going to be directed by Ryan Johnson, who gave us Looper. That will be in theaters on May the 26th, 2017.
All right, let me make a note.
40 years to the day of the release of Star Wars, A New Hope in 1977. How exciting is that? Right? 40 years later. And they've also mentioned they are going to have their very first standalone Star Wars film. First Star Wars film based in the same universe, but featuring characters that are unrelated to any of the characters we know from Star Wars previously. It'll be called Rogue One, and it will star the lovely and talented Felicity Jones from The Theory of Everything. So there you go. Now you're up to date.
Big news.
Real quickly, before I get to celebrity birthdays, I want to read this email from listener Tim Denges, who's just he's a good guy. I'd like to give him a shout-out because he's working hard out there. He said, a colleague and I are making sales calls in the Central Valley this week. Listening to you guys, thanks for keeping our spirits up. Today is his birthday, so we're going to the Cattleman Steakhouse. We're excited for a drink and a nice steak dinner. Last time I was there, the server came up and went through a selection of premium malt beverages with me. And being a SoCal kind of guy, he asked about a selection of Mexican drafts. He excitedly offered us a choice of Corona or Corona Light. No doubt he saw the disappointment because he asked me if something was wrong. I quickly explained to him that when I drink beer, I want Tecate.
I woke up in a new Bugatti. When I drink beer, I want Tecate. When I drink beer, I want Tecate. When I drink beer, I want Tecate.
No, no, and no. Thank you, Tim, for sending that in. We appreciate that.
Who's Tecate?
No bueno.
Mucho bueno. Muy bueno.
No, your worst nightmare.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Emil Hirsch. He's a talented actor. 30 years old today. He was Speed Racer.
Sure was.
Yes, he was.
From Speed Racer to Milk the gamut of different kinds of roles he has played. Yeah. Very impressed by this man. Danny Masterson is 39. Singer Common, Oscar winner, 43 years old. Adam Clayton, bassist for U2, is 55 years old. Dana Delaney is 59. And actor William H. Macy celebrates his 65th birthday today. You know, William H. Macy never lies.
He never lies.
Did you know this?
Is that a joke?
This is
not
a joke. Okay. This is how he lives his life.
He never lies.
He decided some years ago to never tell another lie in his life.
So does he just not say something? If
he will not say something, or he will give you the unvarnished truth. He says a lot of people are very unhappy with him if they ask him questions because he no longer fudges the truth at all in any level of social discourse. That would be a horrible way to live, I think.
I think so, too.
I think he's making a horrible choice. I can't go through the day with like 20, 30 good, juicy lies. I don't know how he exists in this world.
But you're enjoying doing this show, right?
Yes, I am. I love this show. 31. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You know what's just around the corner is Coachella.
It sure the hell is.
So close all of a sudden.
Yep.
They put out the info, then it seems like it takes forever. Now it's right on top of us. And you could win 3-day passes this afternoon at 5 o'clock here on K-Rock. And passes to visit the K-Rock house out there at Coachella. It's always a good time.
Tell them about the new car.
Plus, you can win a brand new car.
Brand new car.
Qualified to drive home in a new 2015 turbocharged Fiat Abarth.
Well done.
Thank you.
None of us thought you were going to get through that. No. Grand prize winner is going to be drawn at the K-Rock Coachella house on Friday, April 10th. Details at krock.com. Yesterday, we were talking about the new Kanye West song that came out. It is unclear whether or not it's going to be on his next album, so help me God. But it's all about how awesome his wife is and how awesome he is. Here's a taste of that song if you missed it.
Super auto-tuned as well.
Because baby, I'm awesome. Also. I'm also awesome. Also. I'm also awesome. Y'all know.
Is he saying I'm also awesome also? He is.
I think, who knows what the hell Kanye is talking about? But we do know that Kanye loves Kanye, and that is starting to get on Anonymous's nerves. Now, Anonymous, those are the people who hack into every computer system and just wreak havoc on the world. They're pretty serious. You know, they've been behind a bunch of actual real-life protests around the world. I mean, they definitely, you know, when they express their displeasure, they let it be known. Well, they have had it up to here with Kanye West, and they are apparently they hacked his Twitter account. They said to him, you don't know when it's appropriate to blurt out your opinions. You always have to steal the moment from others who work equally as hard for the recognition. You're like a spoiled child in a grown man's body. I mean, they just went on and on and on. And I didn't see the whole video, but Ralph was telling us yesterday, but they are promising to, you know, do bad things to Kanye, to screw with him down the road in 2015. They've just had enough of him.
Yeah.
So we thought that's pretty scary. No matter who you are, man, you don't want to have Anonymous coming after you, right? That's a bad deal.
Now they're saying they're denying it, I think, but really, you don't want.
But they got the guy in the anonymous Guy Fawkes mask on the video. That sure looks like Anonymous.
Yes, it does. And they got this creepy
Mr. West
voice.
Good evening. We are Anonymous. It seems that you just don't know when it is appropriate to blurt out your opinions.
Right.
This is consistent with you. You always have to steal the moment from others who work equally as hard for their recognition.
So it's either Anonymous or somebody trying to sound like Anonymous.
Exactly. So let's find out how this is affecting Kanye West himself. I believe he rejoins us back on the phone here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. Hey, Kanye, thanks a lot for coming on 2 days in a row, man. We really appreciate your time.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Bean. Also.
Okay, you don't have to sing and you don't have to do auto-tune. We're just people on the phone having a conversation.
But I'm awesome.
Right.
I'm so awesome.
Awesome, right, yeah.
I'm really awesome.
Okay. What's your reaction?
Awesome, right.
What's your reaction to this video from the people purporting to be Anonymous?
I am Anonymous. Also,
you're not Anonymous at all.
I am Anonymous. You don't know who I am either.
Well, I feel like if any, you know, most people would know who you are.
But I'm Anonymous.
No.
I wear a mask on stage.
Well, you do that sometimes.
Just like that Fox guy.
Guy Fox, also. Right? Yeah. So... are you afraid of what they might do to you? It does seem like they could, you know, get into your email or screw with your finances. There's a lot of things they can do with computers that can make your life miserable, Kanye.
I think Anonymous should go after Beyonce or Beck also.
Do you feel like you're in a position to tell Anonymous who to go after?
I would like Anonymous to be more anonymous, not so public with the hatred of me.
Yeah.
Also,
well,
also right.
You have to be aware, though, that you rub a lot of people the wrong way. There are a lot of people who think you're musically talented, but you're just such a pain in the ass, they don't want to have anything to do with you.
But I'm a genius.
Genius.
Even though I rub you, I will cook you a big dessert.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. You want a career in the movies.
Sure.
Do you like this Miles Teller? Do you like that kid?
So
be
you
in a bunch
does?
Of good movies?
Yeah, be in, you know, be in the Divergent movies and be in the Whiplash and be Mr. Fantastic in the Fantastic Four movies. I mean, do that. That's what you do
Chronicle,
if you want to be in
Chronicle, wasn't he in Chronicle, too?
He was in, was he in Chronicle? I don't remember him in Chronicle. He was in Project X, I know that.
I'm thinking of Project X.
Yeah. Project X, yeah. Anyway, Miles Teller from the new Insurgent film joins us in about 10 minutes or so here in K-Rock. First, though, Ralph, I understand you got a surprise for me. What's this all about?
Yeah, I just, for those who missed it earlier in the week, Bean was talking about the fact that he had an interaction with a service technician. Came out to work on his internet. He had a problem with his
internet. Yes, my cable internet was out, right.
Cable internet was out. And you obviously were concerned because you live your life on the internet. You don't exist without the internet. You're like Max Headroom. You're really just a virtual person at this point.
That's true.
And so you had a hard time, I guess, what was it? You called on the phone. You had a hard time getting through, making them understand your situation on the phone.
I was on the phone for an hour with three different overseas service people who were not able to help me. And then we scheduled a service appointment. And I was telling you guys yesterday, although we decided not to mention the name in case they were a sponsor, when the guy came out, the actual service guy came out, he was terrific. He was sharp. He was on the ball. Super nice guy. Had a great time talking to him. I had a bunch of questions. He was ready with the answers. And I really felt like, I felt it turned my opinion of the company around because I had felt so dejected by how I got, how I had no progress on the phone.
Wait, Ralph, how is that not? Bean's happy.
Because I'm happy with the company.
He's happy with them. That guy single-handedly turned it.
I'm thinking of Josh. That's why.
That was the name of the cable guy that came out. Yes, super, super nice guy. I think we're friends now.
See, this is what I'm talking about. You see it from Bean's point of view. I'm feeling, as a person who's talked to Bean in the past, I'm thinking about Josh's level of experience. How does he feel about the interaction? And it's hilarious to me that Bean says, oh, it was wonderful, and I had tons of questions, and he couldn't have been happier to answer my questions.
He was very friendly, very helpful. It was an outstanding interaction with a customer service person.
Social barometer is faulty. You do not read the high and low pressure systems of social intercourse very accurately.
It's just not. It's not just that it's not accurate. It's broken.
Right.
It's entirely broken.
So I guarantee you, Josh did not have a good time.
I don't think that's it. Look, you weren't there, and you don't know, and I'm telling you as a man who was there that we had a great communication and conversation.
Here's the thing. Here comes the surprise part. Of course, Bean works from his home in Seattle, and he has got a home studio, and there's a microphone there. And Bean does not know this, but we had the technology to be able to turn on that microphone at will.
Wait a second. What are you talking about?
To be able to access your home and to listen in.
What are you talking about?
When the need arises, and
tell me you got Josh.
We were lucky enough to have the microphone turned on while Josh was there working on the cable, working on the internet cable.
That's such good news.
And I think if you listen to the actual interaction, it may be a little different than Bean reported it.
So after you lay this cable, I'll have internet again, right? Because I really need internet. Will I have internet again? I really need internet.
Yeah, Mr. Baxter, you'll have internet.
Oh, that's good. Hey, let me ask you a question. When I call your company, why don't the people I talk to know what my problem is?
I don't know. That's not my department.
But they transfer me to someone else, and I need to start all over again and give them my information all over again.
Yeah, I can see how that would be annoying, but that's not my department.
And how many of those operators are in India?
I really don't know. Listen, I gotta get back onto this project if we're gonna get your internet back up and running, okay?
Oh sure. I won't bother you anymore. No more questions. Not from me. What do you like most about your job?
Well, I get to be outdoors a lot, and usually I don't have anyone looking over my shoulder. That's a good thing.
Yes, I bet that would be annoying. What's that? What's that tool you're holding?
That's a screwdriver.
Oh, I don't know anything about tools. What do you do with that exactly?
You drive screws with it.
What's that thing? Hey, Josh, what's that thing?
That is a piece of coaxial cable.
Ooh, that's a big word. What's that do?
That's what carries your signal.
Hey, would you like some chocolate milk?
No, I'm good, thanks.
I have some. It's only slightly spoiled.
No, I'm good. Thank you. But listen, do you have a restroom I could use?
Sure. You can use that one you used before.
No, how about another one? That naked picture of O.J. Simpson with his penis hanging out? Yeah, that kind of... That freaked me out.
Hey, speaking of nude men, why don't you have more of a plumber's crack when you bend over?
I tend to pull my pants up.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, the interaction is not exactly as Bean described it.
Never Bean like that. Had fun.
Yeah, Bean thought it went well.
Josh, not some. Josh was us.
I don't think Josh will be returning. Yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:37.
That right there, that song right there is why we're the station that everyone can agree on at work. I mean, seriously, that's how you want to start your Friday right there on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, very excited about next weekend. It's Insurgent, the movie based on the second book of the Divergent series. All your favorites are back. Shailene Woodley, of course, Theo James, the great Kate Winslet, Naomi Watts, Octavia Spencer. I mean, what a ridiculous cast this is. Our friend Daniel Day Kim is in the movie. And, oh, yes, Miles Teller, who is back on the Kevin and Bean Show on the phone right now. Mr. Teller, welcome, sir. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Great to talk to you again. I want to start with the most important thing on your mind, and that's DeMarco Murray.
Oh, my God, I love it. I was just talking to somebody. I was saying, you know, when you turn on SportsCenter, it's just all Philly. And, yeah, sad to see LeSean McCoy and Jeremy Maclin go, but I mean, I was online last night looking for a DeMarco Murray jersey. I'm just waiting for him to pick his number. Survivor St. Patrick's Day. Go green.
All right, now let me ask you the same question I asked Ralph, and that's, isn't it difficult to root for a former Cowboy?
Oh, no, it's great. He was on my fantasy team last year, and I felt guilty about it, but now I have, I have a clean conscience, and I love the fact that we took him from the team that won the NFC East last year.
Mm-hmm. So this is best case scenario because you get a potentially great player and you also make a lot of Cowboys fans cry and burn their jerseys.
I know, I love it. I just saw today, I think Darren McFadden signed with them, so that's their new starting running back.
I mean, you're feeling good about it now, but honestly, earlier in the week were you like, Chip, what is happening?
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to my cousin and, you know, all my family's, up in the Northeast, and he didn't really like a lot of the moves, and I think a lot of Philly fans were kind of confused by it. But it's, I think it's proven that a good coach is hard to come by. I think everybody kind of believes in Chip's system, and he's a system guy. Running backs get devalued, it seems like, by the time they turn 25, 26. So it was a little I still think we need some wide receivers, but DeMarco Murray, I mean, for $8 million a year, that's incredible.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on that. I know that there are a lot of people who are listening right now whose teams did not make any moves of that caliber who are just already like, oh, seriously, do I have to give up on next year already?
Yeah.
So it's fun.
We're still in the race, which is good.
All right. Well, let's talk about a couple of other things. Before we get to Insurgent, which we're very excited about next Friday, now that you have survived the phenomena that was Whiplash and gone through all of that awards season, was that super fun for you, or was it exhausting? Was it disorienting? What was it like going through all of that, Miles?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, I was actually filming. I filmed last year pretty much. I started in April with Fantastic Four. And as I was doing that, I would go and do a couple weeks in Insurgent, go back to Fantastic Four, come back to Insurgent. And then right after that, I went into this. I played Vinnie Paz, the ends of Vinnie Paz, the five-time champion boxer out of Providence, and so I wasn't in LA for a lot of the time. I know JK was really kind of running around and doing what they call, you know, the campaign, and mm-hmm. It is a lot of shaking hands, a lot of dinners and stuff, but it was great to kind of be a part of it, and when we got the Best Picture nomination, that was something that was completely, I mean, I think we were like the second lowest grossing film to ever get nominated for Best Picture, so you wear it with a badge of honor because you realize that, you know, the people who saw it really loved it, and you wish it kind of got out there a little more. But it is cool, man. It was nice to see what people do after the Oscars. Like, I was at a Madonna party, and I was, you know, just like everybody you could think of was there, from like Mick Jagger to whatever, like Jay-Z and Beyonce, and it was nice
to know what
super famous people do after the
Oscars. So are you the type of person, do you have the guts to walk up to a Madonna or a Jay-Z and talk to them?
I wouldn't. I mean, it depends on if I have anything in common. I don't
play drums.
I didn't have an opener for Madonna or Jay-Z. I was hanging out with Lars from Metallica for a lot of time, and that's what's cool is that when people are able to kind of see a film that you're in, that opens it up right there. So you really just get a lot of people who are fans of each other, and that's, I think, the best way to meet somebody.
How about it's one thing to play drums in the movie and have As Hard As It Was and As Hard As You Work, but you do have the benefit of another take in editing. How about playing the drums live on the Academy Awards? Was that nerve-wracking?
I mean, a little bit. It actually was not as live as people probably thought. Same thing, man. I got to pre-record that. I came in a couple days early and just made sure I was wearing the same tux. My hair looked the same way. And me and Doogie Howser just did it.
All right. Well,
you're professional.
It worked then because it certainly looked live. All right, one more drumming question, and then we'll move on to Insurgent. Have you seen the challenge that has been presented to you online from the man who calls himself the world's fastest drummer, Tom Grosset? Have you seen that he wants to challenge you in a drum-off?
Yeah, and I mean, I haven't. I think there's a video. I don't know if there's a video attached to it. I kind of saw some talk about it on Twitter, and to me that's like, why don't you challenge the second fastest drummer? Why would you challenge a guy who played, you know, in some garage bands in Florida and has a fun time doing it?
You know. So it struck you as odd, maybe that.
It's
probably a compliment to your. I imagine to your acting.
Yeah, I don't go for speed. You know, it's not a sprint for the miles, man. I'm more.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah, I'm more enjoy it.
Hold on. Did you just refer to yourself as the Miles Man?
Yeah, that's my name.
All right.
I'm in Austin, Texas. Everyone's calling me that.
Oh, Austin, Texas, Kevin.
How
that's where
weird.
You're going to be tonight.
Yeah, I'm leaving today.
Everyone calls
we
Kevin.
Done this interview in person.
That's right. That's
Everyone
right.
calls Kevin Kev Dog in
Kev
Texas.
Kev Dog. Right.
So
right.
When you're there, if you hear that's our Kevin.
Are you there just as a fan to see music, Miles, or do you have business down there?
No, I wish I was down here just to see music. I'm down. I'm down promoting Insurgent, and I'm literally here for like 24 hours.
If you hear somebody walking around going, Miles Man!
Yeah.
Miles Man, where are you? That's
all
me.
All the time. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Insurgent. As I mentioned, it's based on the second book of the Divergent series. Very popular. The first one was a blockbuster. It is not available until next weekend. Don't be confused. In theaters, IMAX in 3D next Friday. Tell us just a little bit off the top of your head. Compare this one to the first one.
Well, the first one, for people that hadn't read the book, you know, we're really kind of setting up this whole new world for people, and we're trying to explain it all in, you know, about an hour and a half. Whereas in the books, you know, you get hundreds and hundreds of pages where you can go explicit detail about everything, and so the first one, we're just kind of setting up all the factions and how society has been formed 100 years in the future in this kind of post-apocalyptic world. And in the second one, now that we have kind of the ground rules or people understand the world, now we can show a little bit more of it. Whereas the first one, we stayed mostly in Dauntless and we went out a little bit. This one, we get to kind of explore some of the other factions, Erudite and Factionless, and it's definitely more action heavy than the first one. Our director Robert Schwenke, I think, does a phenomenal job visually of really kind of bringing a nice sci-fi action adventure with some romance, and then whatever my character's bringing, which is just a lot of sass.
I was going to ask you if you think that Peter is a dick or is he just misunderstood?
I think he's one of the more human characters in the story. I mean, he's a guy who, like, talk about not sticking to one faction. He's always kind of jumping ship, and I love that. One minute he's, trying to help Triss out. The next minute he's trying to kind of sabotage the whole thing. And I like that he doesn't stay on one path, that he kind of surprises you.
What kind of feedback do you get from the fans of the series?
The feedback, they're like, Miles, man, you did it again. Knocked it out of the park once again.
I should have known that.
Left and right to be a Peter's princess, and business is good right now.
Boom. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Insurgent opens up everywhere next weekend. Miles, we always enjoy having you on the Kevin Beach Show. Thanks so much for the time. Cool. Have fun in Austin, dude.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, I'm keeping it weird down here for you.
All right. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:53.
It's been a while since we dipped into the nightmare that is TLC and the My Strange Addiction show. What are we going to be hearing
it's
coming about?
Nightmare.
The top of
what are you Kevin? Talking about? Nightmare.
It's a dream.
On, these people.
It's Kevin's
people.
Wettest dream.
This one is called Granny Love Beans.
See, there you go. Now it's beans. From Kevin's dream to Bean's dream.
Granny Love. That's
Granny
what we're going to be
love.
Doing.
Finally, this is the show that Kevin and Bean can agree on.
We have a winner, believe it or
that's
not.
That's right.
For
this
completely
is the show
different
right
reasons, but both of them will love this.
We'll be hearing about Granny Love coming up first, though. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's the Ralph Man.
Granny Love, wasn't she a DJ? Didn't she do an R&B show or something? And didn't she have a shift somewhere at one of those stations?
Well, I don't think so.
I think you're thinking of Mother Love.
Oh, that's Mother right. Mother Love. This is yeah. Granny Love. This is her mother, then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe,
confused.
Perhaps so, yes.
All right. Let me give you something. Paley Fest. Paley Fest. Paley Fest. Does oh. whatever.
I don't think that's Paley a song.
Fest. It is one of my favorite times of the year. The Paley Center for Media puts together a series of evenings with your favorite TV shows. They always do a great job of bringing out the cast and creative teams behind such excellent television programming as Homeland, Girls, Scandal, Teen Wolf, Outlander, Arrow and the Flash, Modern Family, Jane the Virgin. Great lineup this year. You can go to paleycenter.org for more information and for tickets if there are any available. Most of these sell out pretty quickly. But they're doing an evening with American Horror Story Freak
Yay!
Show. The most recent season of American Horror Story was one of its most terrifying. So if you're a Freak Show fan and you'd like to spend the evening with the cast, you're sick. But if you're interested...
What if we liked it, but we don't want to spend an evening with the cast?
I don't want to spend a minute with those people. I love that show, and I don't want to see any of them ever again. No, they're all very talented, and the creators will be there, and maybe they'll tell you a little bit hotel about the next season that's coming up. So if you'd like to attend, give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 15, because it's happening on March the 15th. Caller number 15 will get a pair of tickets to spend the evening with American Horror Story Freak Show. Well, we've been talking a lot about this lawsuit from the Gays.
Marvin Gaye's estate.
That's the his family.
Right.
The Gays.
Just clarifying.
They sued Pharrell Williams and Robin Thicke and T.I., for plagiarizing Marvin Gaye's 1970s smash hit single Got to Give It Up when they created Blurred Lines. They lost that lawsuit to the tune of $7.2 million.
I still think that's a terrible ruling, by the way.
All right. Let me put that down. Bean feels like this is a terrible ruling.
Well, Bean, maybe you'll be vindicated because they are appealing. Robin Thicke's lawyer has announced they are appealing the Blurred Lines verdict. We owe it to songwriters around the world to make sure this verdict doesn't stand, said lawyer Howard E. King.
There are so many songs that sound like other songs, and I know we keep saying that, but are we going to sue, you know, Lady Gaga for Born This Way because it reminds us of Express Yourself by Madonna?
There's a difference between reminds us of and sounds like it's sampled from, I think, is the line that they're drawing
but
here.
But the Blurred Lines has... Look, I don't want to re-litigate this case on the
you
air,
do.
But the Blurred Lines song has completely different melody, completely different words. It is in the spirit of Got to Give It Up, but it's certainly not a rip-off.
No, it is not. It is not in the spirit. Because, listen to lawyer Howard E. King, my clients know that they wrote the song Blurred Lines from their hearts and souls and no other source. No other song influenced them, said lawyer Howard E. King, who is being sued by singer Ben E. King because he's using the same... No, I'm just kidding. Everyone went, So they are appealing. However, the good news is that the Gay family now is considering suing Pharrell for Happy. The song Happy.
Wait, what?
The song Happy that Pharrell had a
this whole thing has been about Blurred Lines.
Right. Well, now they got their money for that. Now they're saying, hey, wait a minute. You know what the song Happy... That sounds an awful lot like Ain't That Peculiar, Marvin Gaye's song from 1965. An awful lot.
Okay.
So I brought in the mashup. Here is, this is Ain't That Peculiar with Pharrell's Happy laid on top of it. You be the judge.
I'm happy, I'm alone.
That's Pharrell's vocals laid on top of Ain't That Peculiar.
They match.
Give me some more money! Give them more money! And for real, stop ripping off Marvin Gaye! Here's a way we can solve this problem. Next time you write a song, Pharrell, you go, hey, come
Marvin
here.
Marvin Gaye,
hey, Bill,
like this.
Bill, come over here. Take a listen. Does this sound like any other song you know? Oh, it does? That's exactly like a Marvin Gaye song? All right, I'm going to write something off.
So are they suing?
They're thinking about it. They are thinking about it. I'm not going to lie. They do sound alike, says Nona Gaye, Marvin's daughter. Right now, we're not in that space. Asked whether they're going to take legal action regarding this song. We're just in the moment, and we're satisfied. I heard the mashups, but I didn't really need to hear them. God, I know, ain't that peculiar, and I've heard Happy. So, looks like they're toying with the idea. And why not? If they're handing out checks for $7 million, I would get out every song Marvin Gaye ever recorded, and I would start
trying to
start slapping them up against other things and see what I could get that would stick.
I don't like it.
Listen.
Bean doesn't like it? Make a note.
Like it. What about that? What about when Vanilla Ice stole the line from Under Pressure by Queen and David Bowie for his song? Was that okay with you, too? Thief?
Here's what I think about that. To me, that was a sample of an existing record, is what it sounded like to me. And they should definitely have paid for that, as you should pay for all samples.
Okay, all right. All right, then.
What a tangled web we weave.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. Speaking of music, this email comes from Robert Brandt. I appreciate Robert writing in. Ralph, my wife and I were in New York the other day to hear my daughter Allie play Carnegie Hall with her high school concert band. That must have been so exciting.
Wow.
Prior to the concert, a group of us went to the world-famous Carnegie Deli for lunch. It was a lot smaller than I thought it would be, just a hole in the wall, basically. But they had everything you wanted on their menu. I settled for a turkey club sandwich, and while it was delicious, I wish I'd ordered the pastrami.
I woke up in a new Bugatti. I wish I ordered the pastrami. I wish I ordered the pastrami. I wish I ordered the pastrami.
That song is so awesome and catchy. My buddy Randy, that's his favorite song.
Oh, I'm glad for Randy.
Great story.
Thanks, Robert Brandt, for sending that in. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor William H. Macy's 65 years old. Dana Delaney turns 59. Adam Clayton turns 55. Basis for U2, of course. Common is 43. Danny Masterson is 39. And actor Emil Hirsch celebrates his 30th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Have you ever found yourself addicted to something odd? Something that you don't feel is necessarily wrong? I'm reading from the TLC website. But you are sure people would not understand if they found out about it? If so, you are probably a fan of the TLC hit series My Strange Addiction. Tonight on My Strange Addiction, we meet Kyle, who is addicted to dating older women. Kevin, how's Kyle?
Well, I'm going to let him explain what he means exactly by older.
My name's Kyle. I'm 31. I live in Pittsburgh. And I'm addicted to dating older women. Much older women. Like 60, 70, 80-year-old older women.
First of all, I like the porn music. I like the use of that. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, 67, 80, 90, he actually goes on a date with a 91-year-old.
31.
Mm-hmm.
His age.
His age is 31.
31.
She is 91. When did he first realize that this was his passion?
The first time I realized I was attracted to old women, I was in sixth grade. There was a really, really sexy teacher.
Is this Napoleon Dynamite?
Right? He is a little Napoleon Dynamite-esque, yes.
Is?
The first time I realized I was attracted to old women, I was in sixth grade. There was a really, really sexy teacher, and she was probably about 65.
All right, now, so sixth grade, he would have been 12?
11, 12?
11 or 12? Yeah. 61.
She had the platinum hair, she was top heavy, and she was just gorgeous.
Play Tina, come get me
some ham.
That's him as a grown-up. This is Napoleon Dynamite as a grown-up.
But look, we have heard about a lot of people over the years who developed some sort of a I won't even say a fetish, but just their sexual interest is piqued by something that happens to them as a young person. There's just something. Sometimes it's they see a neighbor with great legs, and all of a sudden they become legs man, or the first girl they fall in love with is a blonde, so now they love blondes or whatever. That's not atypical. His particular one about a woman, you know, 30 years older than him, that's a little unusual, but I can see why an impressionable teenager would fall in love with whoever he thought was hot, right?
And what is it that he likes about older women?
I love everything about older women. I love the smell. I love the feel. I love the mentality. I love dentures. Women, you know, they can be self-conscious about dentures. No. Ladies, I promise you.
All right, now here's some good dating advice from this guy, from him.
Telling your man that you have dentures will not turn him off. It'll put a smile on his face. It'll put a smile on his pants.
We all know why he's saying that.
Yep.
Dude.
Yep.
He just said he loves the smell of old women.
He said that.
And he loves dentures. He loves if they have
said that as well. So, you know, they always bring in a best friend, and they always, you know, breaking the news to your friend is part of it. And his best friend is not really a rocket scientist either.
When he told me he was addicted to grandmas, I was just completely shocked. Like, it blew my mind out of the water.
Blew his mind out of the water. That happened. Didn't just blow his mind, but it blew it out of the water. What about sex with old women?
Sex with older women. The truth is, they like it. A 68-year-old woman enjoys passionate, vigorous sex just as much as a 23-year-old college cheerleader.
He's not having sex with college cheerleaders.
He's not.
So how do you know?
No. But his best friend, Rich, sets him up with a 24-year-old that was really attractive. Mm-hmm. And I think he was just calling BS on this guy. And the guy's like, no, you know what? Give me a number of your grandma.
Wow.
She was hot. Now, the women that he dates are not quite as hot. Jackie, the first person that he meets, is 81. And I don't really know how to describe her except for us to say she's an 81 that doesn't look a day over 101.
I saw her pictures. I thought she was absolutely gorgeous. And I am so looking forward to meeting her tonight.
So good to finally meet you. You look great.
What's happening? Is she gumming him? What's happening?
How much of that gumming do you need to hear?
Tina, come get some ham.
So that's Jackie. She's 81. He also has been dating a 61-year-old.
Kyle and I, you know, we date on and off, but I'm really not his type because I'm too young for him. I'm just a baby. I'm only 61.
She's only 61. So when dating on and off, you know, it means they're gumming each other.
I guess the reason this is such a surprise is lots of old people have sex with old people, but it's just unusual for young people to be attracted to that, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's 31, she's 81. It's not like a 31 is attracted to a 41, even a 51.
Do they address where he's meeting them?
Online, yeah.
Trolling
bingo? He meets them online.
Okay.
Yeah, basically.
So this is a good deal for the 81-year-old woman, though, right?
Yeah, for her it is.
I would think.
The 61-year-old. Though is trying to convince him to stay with her.
I think you should think about coming back. Come live with me again.
I'm at a crossroads. I have to make a decision. I'm either going to stay in Pittsburgh or I'm going back to Florida. Be with Jackie.
What about all the other women that you were chasing? All your old, beautiful women.
Karen was 100% my type. I would definitely date her. Absolutely. But Jackie and I, we've dated for a while. I mean, I do have feelings for her. She's a lot of fun. Should that not work out, Florida is a hotbed of sexy-ass grandmas.
Yep.
Tina, come get some ham.
That is that dude. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
I think we got time for one more look at the Showbiz Beat with our friend Ralph Garman. What's going on, man?
Well, before I get to the beat, let me give you some passes to the K-Rock screening of Insurgent!
Yay!
Insurgent, of course, of the Divergent series. We just talked to Miles Teller, the Miles Man.
Featuring the Miles Man. Man.
He was a lot of fun today, wasn't he?
He was very fun. He was spunky and full of energy. I think it's that Eagles trade. I think it's DeMarco
Murray.
That's
what it was, wasn't
it? Just perked him right
up. A little zip in his step.
We are giving away tickets to this very special K-Rock screening of Insurgent, happening March the 16th at Pacific Groves Theater. If you'd like to go, give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that number will get a pair of passes. And if you don't win, don't feel too badly, because the Divergent series Insurgent
is in theaters everywhere on March the 20th, so you can check it out then if you don't win tickets. This is good news, I think, for everyone. The host for the 67th Primetime Emmy Awards has been announced.
Emmys, okay.
The Emmys. Andy Samberg will be hosting.
All right. Great choice.
Good choice on their part. Of course, it's not entirely unexpected because it will be airing on Fox this year. The Emmys will be. So, of course, he's one of the stars of their network with Brooklyn Nine-Nine. But I think that's an excellent choice. The guy is likable and funny and charming, and he can sing and
I do too.
Do jokes. I mean,
it's a good idea.
It's a pretty good choice. I'm looking forward to it.
I would have gone with Cookie, but it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is my Emmys, too. Where's my half of the Emmys?
Love her so much.
That would have been the best.
Oh.
Oh, imagine if Lucius and Cookie hosted the Emmys.
That'd be pretty strong.
I'm building these Emmys for my sons. I need one of my sons to step up and take over the Emmys.
Mm-hmm.
What about me taking over the Emmys? I did my time. Now I want my Emmys now.
Very special Emmys. Yeah, I think we're in good shape with Andy Samberg. I like it. I like it.
I like it.
It's a hit.
It's a hit.
You approve.
I like it.
Should the Marvin Gaye family sue Pharrell again? They already did it once successfully. They sued over blurred lines with Marvin Gaye's estate taking on Pharrell Williams and Robin Thicke and T.I.
Bean, you follow this kind of stuff. Most of these cases settle which way or end up which way?
Well, we don't know how most of them settle, but I can't remember the last time one went to court and was decided against the defendant. I literally can't even remember one.
Well,
the last time it happened.
The one that always comes to my mind is
George Harrison.
George Harrison's My Sweet Lord.
But that was 40 years ago. 45 years ago.
There was a song called He's So Fine by the Chiffons, I think it was, the Crystals or something.
And it was found against him?
And he released My Sweet Lord, and they said, that's exactly the same song. I'm sorry, you need to pay them a whole bunch of money. So I remember that one. That's the big one. And there have been a few others in more recent history.
For the most
part.
Doesn't
happen often, though. They don't go to court, and if they do, they don't get ruled against most of the time.
Most often people say, well, you know, yeah, they kind of sound alike, but I don't think it's intentional, so no harm, no foul. This one, the jury said they felt like it was intentional. Like they took that song and that riff, and they said, yeah, we're going to lift it, and we're going to build our own song around it, and they thought they owed him some cash. Well, now there's another Pharrell song that the gays are saying they should consider suing over.
Are they just being dicks now?
Marvin Gaye's family said they had heard the similarities between Pharrell's Happy, which was a smash hit song from 2014, sold an estimated 10 million units worldwide, and Marvin Gaye's 1965 hit song Ain't That Peculiar.
Okay.
Now, Janice Gaye, Marvin's ex-wife, said, you know, we're in the moment, we're satisfied with this current ruling, we've heard the mashups, we didn't really need to hear them, we know Ain't That Peculiar, and we've heard Happy, but as for right now, they haven't decided whether they're going to sue or not. Anyway, I thought I'd bring it in. This is Pharrell's vocals from Happy laid over the instrumental from Ain't That Peculiar, and here, you can be a member of the jury.
Sure sounds like Happy.
Pretty close. Pretty close. I'm going to sue Pharrell. I think he's just writing checks.
Yeah,
I think there's money to be made. I'm suing for that hat. I wore that hat for anybody.
Well, I don't remember seeing
that
ever.
Remember when I was Smokey the Bear that year for Halloween?
I do remember.
All right.
Yeah, we know you love bears.
Okay.
Phil Collins.
Guilty.
He's not been charged with anything. No.
But people keep sue-sue-studioing.
Oh!
Just file. So file. Not enough file.
Plain prejudice.
File. Give her own drawer in the file. That's...
Not just file, but let's bypass the file and go right to the death penalty.
You are so jealous, Bean, that I came up with that.
That was pretty strong.
Thank you.
You don't hear Phil Collins' name in the news much anymore, but Kevin, you'll be happy to know
as you make your way to Texas this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Collins has been made an honorary Texan.
Okay.
The state of Texas.
That's an odd thing, but all right.
Gave him an honorary citizenship from the Texas State Legislature. Now he is officially a Texan.
And
this
why?
Is going to blow your mind when you find out why he's a Texan now.
Okay.
He has donated his massive, impressive collection of the Alamo and Texas Revolution artifacts to the Alamo Museum. He has the largest private collection of Alamo artifacts.
He had more than they do?
Yes.
What?
Phil Collins loves the Alamo. I
more
know it
than
sounds
the
like
Alamo.
That should be a Bugatti
what?
Song, but it's not. Phil Collins adores the Alamo.
What?
Why would a British drummer from Genesis love the Alamo?
I can't imagine.
What's going on? Phil says when he was a kid. No, this is
I don't understand.
No payoff.
Stan.
When he was a kid, he watched the TV show based on the life of Davy Crockett. And he became hooked when he was a small child and has always been fascinated with the Alamo ever since.
Okay.
And then when he got all that money, he just would go around just buying up whatever came out of the market.
Buying bones of Mexicans.
He had the Bowie knife, by the way.
What the what?
The knife owned by Jim Bowie.
David Bowie's
it
knife?
That's a strange thing. Uh-huh. Jim Bowie. But the one that the rest of them were named after, the Bowie knife, was in his collection, among other things.
Are you sorry you brought it up? Because I am.
I would like to be being here for a moment and say it's Bowie.
I think it's Bowie.
I think
it's a Bowie knife.
I would like to wager some money. Oh,
I'm not going to bet
cash
whether
on.
It is pronounced Bowie.
Come on, Bean Dog,
or Bowie.
Bean Dog.
I am not going to bet on that. I will accept
come
that
on.
You're probably right, but I have always heard it was a Bowie knife.
It's David Bowie and it's Jim Bowie, the Bowie knife.
See, I have a confusing relationship with that word because
sure,
I grew up in and went to Bowie High School in Bowie, Maryland. And we were always told that, no, the knife is not pronounced the same way as the city. It's pronounced Bowie. That's what we were always told.
Christ. How often were you told that? Like daily? Like, hey, kids, just a reminder, our school is different.
The point is,
it was written on our T-shirts.
Loves the Alamo. That's the point.
Kevin is wrapping a rope around his neck as we speak. He's knotting a rope around his neck.
Just, I can't do this anymore.
We kind
of
knew.
In the state of Texas, if you come into our state,
right,
you will be executed.
What?
That's good news.
That is not where you want to go on vacation. Kevin, rethink your plans.
Oh.
Wow.
All right.
Although it sounds pretty good about now, right, Kevin? Being executed?
Yeah.
All right, it's time. Almost time to get out of here.
Yeah.
I just have one last email here
can
to
we
read.
Just,
no, you'll like this one because
let's just play.
As you know, we have been doing this ongoing segment in the Showbiz Beat where I've been reading emails from listeners, and the punchline's always been rhyming with "I woke up in a new Bugatti." That song by Ace Hood. Well,
but that's over now, right? We don't do that anymore.
Apparently, it is. I'm trying to be open to constructive criticism, and this email came from Brett Calvert.
All right,
and I think it may reflect how a lot of you feel, and so I wanted to read this instead of one of those. Ralph, I'm a giant fan. Please know that. I listen to you every morning as I drive to work, and I'm always entertained by the Showbiz Beat. However, this whole rhyming thing you're doing lately is getting pretty tiresome. The first few were funny, but you've kind of run it into the ground. It's like you're not even trying anymore. The phrases you land on hardly even rhyme with that Ace Hood song. It feels like you've just gotten lazy. Please, again, know that I have the utmost respect for you, and I don't want to tell anyone how to do their job. But I have to say, these jokes are getting super shoddy.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
These jokes are getting super shoddy. These jokes are getting super shoddy. These jokes are getting super shoddy. That's from Brett Calvert. Thank you, Brett. I appreciate the constructive criticism. Today's celebrity birthdays.
I agree with Brett, by the way.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Emil Hirsch is 30. Danny Masterson is 39. Singer Common turns 43. Adam Clayton, bassist for U2, 55 years old. Dana Delaney's 59. A lot of people complain to no bell for Dana Delaney, by the way.
Well, what do you guys think? It was a game time decision? I thought no.
I think she's still a...
I haven't seen her in a while.
She's got that series on ABC. She looks amazing. I think she's beautiful.
Really?
She's, yeah.
Allie, what do you think? Dana Delaney?
Stunning and... yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, that. Yeah.
Retroactive bell, then.
There we go.
All right.
And actor William H. Macy, of course, from Showtime Shameless. So good on that show. He is 65 years old. I am Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Don't forget, you can. We're looking for an opening act for April Foolishness. Go to kevinandbean.com. You can submit 2 minutes of comedy, and we will pick somebody that will open up April Foolishness.
Or will Susie Studio you?
Oh, no. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, hook a jig up.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I hate white people.
Roll another one.
What the heck are you talking about?
Just like the other one.
That's a good question.
This one seems to be about to quit. Another hit.
I imagine you have a big
maybe.
Oh, how big is it?
I'm not sure.
You haven't measured it?
I haven't measured.
It's like, what, 3 inches?
Maybe.
4?
3.
Roll another one.
Do you have anything you want to talk about? Or?
Just like the other one.
Kevin does not disappoint.
This one seems to be about
cents. The Kevin smell.
I don't have another cent.
No cussing, no heavy metal, and no techno.
But don't bogart that joint.
Tina, come get some ham.
Just pass it around.
Stand with the Wooders.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
That's real talk right there, man.
Party's over. Let's go. Is this your stuff? Let's go. Thanks for coming. Party's over. Bye-bye.
That does it. I'm out of here.
It's time for us to go home.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
See you soon.
Ta-ta.
Oh, and come back and see us real soon.
Okie dokie. This was great. Bye-bye. Go on. Konnichiwa.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Say goodnight and save the Sunset Strip.